Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 77, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of December 16th, 2013. And we have the Motley crew here, the usual suspects and other references. It's me, Derek, and Mo.
Hey, everyone.
Alright, so, this year is almost over.
It is.
Yeah, I think for our last episode, what we should do is, like, do some extra stuff, like, current top five favorite ongoing manga, maybe see if there's any revisions to our top five favorite,
I'd say bottom manga. Four, because I can't think of anything who's like my number one right now.
Yeah, true. Very true.
But,
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of fun to do those lists and then compare them, or at least let people compare them to last year's lists.
True.
But we might want to talk about doing a little retrospective or whatnot. It kind of depends when Shonen Jump takes its break. Then we'll have to see exactly, you know, whether we're doing an episode then or taking a break, or if we'll just do a little season ender kind of thing. So, but for now, we should go ahead and start off with the news, starting with the Japanese comic rankings for December 2nd to 8th, through the 8th. And in first place, we have Naruto Volume 67.
Second place, we have Bleach Volume 61.
That's kind of interesting to see both of those two up there.
Well, they're both going to end eventually, so...
Yeah.
Give them a break. I mean, they have some rough...
Well, no, I'm just saying it's kind of interesting to see the two, you know, two of the top three, top four in Shueisha up there. But in third place, we have Kuroko's Basketball, Volume 25.
I wonder why. Fourth place, Gintama, Volume 52.
Fifth place, Shokugeki no Soma, Volume 5.
Nice.
Very nice indeed.
Sixth place, One Punch Man, Volume 5.
Seventh place, What Did You Eat at Yesterday, Volume 2.
Well, I think I had... Okay, fine. Eighth place, Tolobu Trouble Darkness.
And ninth place, Worst, Volume 33.
I forgot, Tolobu is basically Trouble.
Yes, indeed.
And you said 9th place, right? So 10th place is Claymore Volume 25.
Sweet. Alright, and let's go ahead and move on to the New York Times manga and bestseller list for December 1st through 7th. And in first place, we have One Piece Volume 69.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's good to see. Actually, wait, this is its first week on the list. And... Well, that's nice. Looks like One Piece is definitely picking up in the States here. So,
After all, it is the manga, according to the newspaper.
Yes.
Second place is Attack on Titan, Volume 9.
Oh, for the love of...
Second place.
Third place, Attack on Titan, Volume 3. Somehow it jumped up from 10th place last time. Weird.
It does start to pick up after Volume 1. Yeah. Fourth place, Attack on Titan Volume 1. Speaking of Volume 1.
Fifth place, Pokemon Black and White Volume 10.
Hey, my favorite gym leader. sixth place, Attack on Titan Volume 2.
Lovely. Seventh place, Sailor Moon Short Stories Volume 2.
Eighth place, Demon Love Spell Volume 5.
Ninth place, Maximum Ride Volume 7.
And 10th place, Naruto Volume 63.
Fair enough. Let's see, and... what do we have here? We have the Amazon Japan announces top-selling manga and anime of 2013. And the top 10 manga is in first place, Yotsuba Volume 12. Second place, Attack on Titan Volume 10. Third place, One Piece Volume 69. That is impressive that it... already showed up there that quickly. Fourth place, To Love Root Darkness, Volume 6. Fifth place, Hunter x Hunter, Volume 31. Let's see. Sixth place, Silver Spoon, Volume 6. Excellent. Seventh place, Saint Young Men, Volume 8. Eighth place, Jojo Valley, Perfect Edition. You know, that probably has something to do with Jojo's Bizarre Adventure.
It's always got to do something with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah. Ninth place, Drifters Volume 3.
Oh, yeah.
And 10th place, Hyoka Volume 3 Limited Edition. That's cool. Yeah, that. Let's see. No point.
No point.
No point in going over the anime. We're not an anime podcast.
That is true. In the series, most of the series on there are not my liking in the first place. Most of them.
Yeah, they're most of them are that. Well, grant given how many of the series are currently not of our liking, I'm not surprised. All right, let's see. What do we have for the North American anime and manga releases for December 8th through 14th? Starting with the anime releases, we have Bleach DVD Set 19.
Then we have Batum for Blu-ray and DVD complete collection.
We have Fairy Tail DVD and Blu-ray Part 7. Cool.
We have Fairy Tail the movie, Phoenix the Phoenix Priestess for DVD and Blu-ray.
I should get that.
I thought you got that.
Apparently, I didn't pre-order it. Oh
What a shame.
well. Yeah, speaking of pre-orders. Anyway, we've got Gatchaman TV and OVA Blu-ray and DVD complete collection.
And Kokoro Connect OVA Blu-ray and DVD complete collection.
All right, and for the manga releases, we have Awkward Silence Volume 4.
Arata the Legend
You son of
Volume
a bitch.
16.
Crimson Spell Volume 1.
Italia, Axis Power Volume 4.
And Volume 5 for Italia.
And yeah, that's it. Itsuwari Bito, Volume 10.
Knights of Sidonia Volume 6.
Maji, Volume 3.
Tiger and Bunny Comic Anthology Volume 2.
And for other releases, we have Sorcery Saga, Curse of the Great Curry God for PS Vita game, and the Vampire Hunter D novel, Volume 20.
Yeah, they've been bringing that out pretty those that series out pretty regularly. It's pretty fun. Let's see. All right. And what other news do we have, Mo?
Well, the Attack on Titan spin-off causes manga mag the magazine is being printed print runs increased tenfold
Oh boy.
because everybody's crazy about Titans now.
Yeah. Oh well.
That's good. I don't like zombies anyway.
Basically zombies. It's not like they show any signs of intelligence, so they might as well just be large zombies. Which when
But
you think which
they're
when you
zombies
think
that can
about it,
run.
yeah.
And giant zombies that can run. I think that's even worse than zombies.
Yeah. Well, when you think about it, giant zombies would be the only way zombies would actually be any significant threat for any kind of, well, I don't know. I mean, if this were to happen, like, say, the Middle Ages, which is where they seem to be, more or less. But, if it were to happen, zombies were to happen now, all we would need to do to take care of them is just have the army run them over in tanks.
Actually, it doesn't seem to be Middle Ages. It seems to be take place in an apocalyptic type of future
Well,
because,
yeah, but I mean the way they build their houses is very Middle Ages, so.
well, you as far as we know, all the technology could have been lost, and they have
Well,
to go back
yeah.
to the old days or something. They can't build
True.
skyscrapers anymore,
True, true.
steel and all that.
Though, yeah, I'm starting to think.
The
I guess the
resources
only
ran
way
dry.
that, yeah, the only way that any kind of zombie apocalypse would make sense if it were an airborne contagion, and then the threat wouldn't be the zombies themselves, it would be the contagion, rather than, because the zombies are like, oh, they'll eat you, but at the same time, they're not going to spread the disease. The disease is being spread in the air. So any traditional zombie apocalypse that requires people to be bitten by the zombies would never get off the ground, just because I don't know, I just always go back to that Cracked article where where they're talking about how it would be impossible
Oh yeah, I
for
read
a
that.
zombie apocalypse to happen, and
Like
what
the
was it?
cold, the heat, the animals,
Yeah,
the
or
water and all that
yeah,
stuff
and
would
there's
just
also
destroy
the
them. They should just utterly destroy them.
Yeah, and then there's also when they're talking about the WHO, the World Health Organization, where it's like they tend not to F around, and it's like, no, seriously, it's on their business cards, and they don't, they don't have to spend a lot of time figuring out the cause of the infection. It's that guy over there biting people. There, shoot him in the head. But yeah, anyway,
so
where were we?
Kodansha decided to make another printing of the January 2014 issue of the Aria magazine, which launched spin-off, the Tank of Titan spin-off that stars Levi, about how he got to be where he is.
Right.
Because, you know, Levi's a very popular character. And I'm not surprised, because he friggin' is a friggin' cool character. Hmm. All right. Yeah.
Spin-offs.
I'm not really, big on spin-offs. But, hey, sometimes, little story. You can't really get to them in the main besides. Anyways, moving on. Eye Shield 21's Ichiro Inagaki is going to publish a 2-chapter manga. Hmm. He's going to team with the artist Katsunori Matsui to create the Alpha Centauri Dobutsen, meaning Alpha Centauri Zoo. Basically, the story follows four high school students who are caught up in an incident with an unidentified flying object.
Right.
These survivors find themselves in a bizarre place. This is by the writer of Eye Shield 21. Not the artist, the writer.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Could be, yes, some fans are hoping, please, Eye Shield 21 sequel. Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen. Just give the guys some time. They need to get their, whatever going together right now. It's just how it works. Okay, next we have Silver Spoon Manga wins Japan Food Culture Contents Award because farming wins. No, seriously, it wins.
Well, I mean, farming is kind of tied directly to food culture. It's kind of impossible not to have
that. And even if we were about technology, the farmers would be all right on their own because it's like, hey, we're running around without our TVs and laptops and computers and iPhones, and the farmers are like, we got our crops and our cows.
I don't think that's really the case.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they like technology just as much as anyone else.
What about the Amish?
Well, they're hardly representative of the majority of the farming community worldwide. Now, are they?
True.
I'm pretty sure. Well, anyway, carry on.
Okay. Captain Tsubasa gets a new manga in Grand Jump. For those who don't know, I don't know much myself, but all I know is that it's a soccer manga.
Yeah.
A very popular soccer manga series that the original one revolved around 11-year-old Tsubasa Ozora, a boy who loves soccer and is recognized by his coach Roberto due to his skill of the sport, and Tsubasa goes with his coach to Brazil in order to train for the World Cup.
Yeah. That's one of those, the anime adaptation of it. I saw a couple episodes because it was one of those shows that was being licensed in Germany back in the early 2000s or so, back when anime and manga was starting to get big, and they were kind of just, licensing older shows. And this was one of those. Yeah,
anyway,
Ranma 1/2 and Sailor Moon.
Okay. But yeah, so the new one's plot is basically it's going to revolve around the main character as he aims to participate in the Olympics as a representative from Japan. So, 7 years later, I guess he's 18 or something.
Right.
Interesting take.
That might be, interesting to see.
Oh. Finally, we get the closure on that Kuroko basketball person.
Oh, really? What?
Yes, we do. They caught the person. A 36-year-old man arrested for obstructing business says, "I'm sorry, I've lost." Yeah. Basically, what it turns out is that this is basically who they suspect to be the person sending all those letters all the time, because basically he was gonna go up to like a letter place, the mail or whatever, and I guess somehow they figure out he had like 20 letters he's gonna deliver in his bag somehow, and they check.
Oh dear, that's pretty awful.
And they're like, why do you have 20 letters? Oh, I'm going to send them to people. Why are you all directed to one person? okay, you win.
Yeah. Like, all right, take me.
Oh, yeah, here's the thing, though. It's from what I've read, the guy may actually be insane.
You don't say.
No kidding. He because apparently there's according to one of the things I read in like the forums. Hmm. I read somewhere, but basically when he got to like his like apparently like one of the neighbors or the landlord heard like loud stomping or something and it sounded like that the guy was dancing or something. He was happy about finding out the news and the landlord told him to keep it down and he didn't keep it down. So it's like, you know, you should keep that down. It's just, that's suspicious, you know, being excited all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I understand sports and all, you know, yeah, they scored touchdown. I get that part, but you know, when you're told to be quiet and you're not quiet, that's suspicious. Anyways, the thing about this guy is that he did all of this because he was jealous of Fujisaki, the creator of Crooked Basketball. He was just jealous of his popularity. That's what it is. He has no connection to knowing the guy. And Tadatoshi Fujimaki does not know the guy at all. They do not have any connection to each other at all.
Really? So all that he knows what he did this entire time, the mangaka has been like, I have no idea what's going on here.
Exactly.
Wow, that's... So basically all that stuff that was posted online either wasn't this guy or this guy was just making crap up, which...
It's probably this guy or not this guy. I mean, it doesn't...
probably one of the two only choices.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hopefully it's actually, you know, quieted down crap, but...
I don't know. If he really is insane, it's like, you know, lying... You know, making up stories and things like that do tend to be one of the symptoms of an unwell mind.
So. Let's also not forget that this is the same person who has that yaoi fetish or basketball fetish. And okay, that's 36-year-old guy here. 36-year-old guy.
That's
for all we know. This could be the guy. It says the suspect. They're not entirely sure yet. There's no confirmation.
Well, we'll see what happens after this.
Should be a confirmation. Why is it the same link? There was two links. Like one posted the day after you're connected to each other, and apparently this is a guy. Hopefully this is a guy.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
What the goodness is that this raised publicity for the series. And now I want to read it. Thank you.
Well done, crazy person.
Well done.
We'll probably read it at some point. I don't feel like it right now.
Yeah, I don't want to right now, to be honest. I mean, I'm not really crazy about basketball.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
Anyways, Mushishi anime special promo. Mushishi, it's a really great series. I'm going to say that much. I have not read all the way through because let's just say it's like going through the jungle. A very pleasant jungle, but you gotta keep your wits about you because if you get too into it, you're gonna suffer really badly. Is all I'm gonna say. But very interesting. It's a very interesting take because usually most series are, you know, about action, fighting, romance, drama. This is more like, you know, understanding a world that ordinary people live in, but have to deal with the mysterious supernatural aspects of it too. Chichi. Anyways, it's a series that's turned into the anime. There's an anime series, an anime adaptation a while ago, and it's the anime continuing again.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty good. I took a look at it. I still don't know what's going on, but it looks pretty good. I want to read that for the series though. Okay, this is kind of weird to be honest. I mean, I guess they kind of learned live action is not good for them. Character visuals for Saint Seiya 2014 CG film have been revealed.
Mm.
Yeah, so you know how most manga adaptations tend to be live action. I guess they finally realized, hey, this is not gonna work. We should just do CG. And I gotta admit, they look like Final Fantasy ish to me.
Oh dear.
Seriously, they do.
All right. I'm going to take a look at this.
So there's a poster. It says, Save Your Athena. Yeah, Age of Silence.
Yeah, it looks exactly like the one dude on the left. Looks exactly like the Final Fantasy movie, whatever it was called.
Spirits Within, the one that failed, that pretty much destroyed Square and made them have to merge with Enix. Yeah, that one.
I meant the one that was actually based on Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, Advent Children, Final Fantasy VII.
Yes. Dude looks exactly like that character model of Cloud.
No way. He looks like Tidus to me. His hair.
Anyway.
Anyways. Let's see. Oh. Okay, 77-year-old horror manga master Kazuo Umezu is going to direct his first film. Now, I took a look at the picture, and I'm not entirely sure this guy's going which one's the 77? I think the 77-year-old is the one on the left. They all look like, they kind of dress like Waldo. Just missing the hat. Color. Yeah. And glasses. But, he's known for making, oh, there you go. He's known for creating most influential horror and gag manga. Such classics like The Drifting Classroom and Makoto-chan. So the film is being called Mother, and what's basically about is it tells the tale of a publishing company working on a book about the life of Umezu. It starts digging into his past, including his late mother Ichie, who's I guess it's kind of like a biography of him. Interesting.
Intriguing.
But horror? I don't know how the horror works, but okay. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. So far, I've not been impressed with Japanese horror. After reading something by one of the best, I'm sort of like, okay then.
It was incredibly silly. I agree. It was incredibly silly. Okay, I agree. Basically, my imagining just took me over. Okay. Anyways, Attack on Titan. Okay, remember the web game with the horse racing? It's back.
Is it now?
It's back. And now they have you petting ponies for some reason.
I'm down with that.
Of course you are petting ponies. I took a look at I did not play the game because I already am upset about how I cannot get through the second part of the game when the first installment. And it looks pretty silly. I mean, it's Attack on Titan fad. I'll call it a fad because by the end of this year and sometime before the end of next year it'll be gone.
Probably. No, I don't know. We'll see. It's had a massive impact, but it probably won't have the long lasting impact that Dragon Ball One Piece have had.
Yeah, once the series ends though, then we'll see if it has a long lasting impact.
Yeah. We will.
Right. I'm not sure I should cover this part of the news. You want me to?
Which part is that?
You know, that one.
Fine.
Okay, this is weird, and I know that this kind of goes against what we usually do, because I have permission, but this is just weird. Okay, Premium Bandai to release Sailor Moon lingerie and pajamas. My question is, why?
My question is, why not?
You know, this is going to backfire. It's going to backfire so badly. I mean,
it's being released in Japan. Of course it's not going to backfire.
It's not going to backfire, but it's going to get the wrong customers coming in. It's going to be having like a bunch of
fat Sailor Moon cosplay guy that's at every convention.
Anyways, I just want to try to be nice to Japan about the weirdness, but I think I'm going to take it back because, you know, trying to be nice all the time is not a good thing.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, what the heck, man, really, what the heck?
These are clearly not meant to be, I don't know, I mean, they've got a variety of different things it looks like here. I mean, from regular underwear that's just slightly themed, excessively frilly, but themed around the basic imagery of the series, to like, you know, a boxer and shirt set. The ones that I'm a little confused about are the costume bra sets.
Because according to the comments on there, they say the size are not fitting most of them.
No, not even that. It's just, this is clearly meant to be used in a intimate setting, shall we say. Because nobody in their right mind would wear these under their clothes the way underwear is meant to be worn. I mean, maybe you could get away with it if you got rid of the bow at the front, but even the collar frill kind of thing would be difficult to wear underneath. So I'm just like, this is not meant to be used for anything but illicit purposes. This is bizarre.
Yeah, we just wait until one of the news sites end up uploading saying, "Oh, man has been caught dressing." I'm like, okay.
Oh gosh, I do love this. I love this. The number one comment right now: if this doesn't raise birth rates in Japan, I don't know what will.
Oh boy, I don't think it's gonna work. Oh boy. Okay, moving on to something a little bit more interesting. A high quality one piece engraved silver ring has been offered in Japan. It's just one, and the price for it is pretty much 29,300 yen, which is about $284. And it's a high quality engraved ring with a natural gemstone red agate that produces only 5,000. Wait. They only produce 5,000 of them? I think that's what they mean. Oh, and if you can order them and engrave the characters and numbers you want, up to 11 maximum inside the ring. Cool.
Mm. All right. Sounds fun.
Better get that in a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, true.
Oh yeah, it looks really cool. I would like to wear that, but then, living in the ghetto. Not a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't have the bling around there. Probably not.
I like the first comment. A perfect wedding ring for two people who love One Piece.
Is there such a thing? No. That's cool. I mean, One Piece merchandise, it's cool.
Alright, and the last bit is now this makes me wish I had a 3DS to get the game. Attack on Titan 3DS game. It's a playable DLC story episode for Sasha. And her weapon is a knife and fork.
What? Yes. Oh, that one.
Yes. She's actually one of my favorite characters in the series.
Oh, dear. Wait. This better just be for the game, because if she actually uses that in the manga, I'm...
No, it is for the game. It's just for the game.
Okay, good.
But it's just basically poking fun at how much he likes to eat,
indeed.
Like, eat a lot, so.
Yeah. Well, if you're in a place where starvation is an issue, I wouldn't blame you if your favorite pastime is eating.
I like the last figure where she's just behind the Titans, like knife and fork.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to eat you. You're not going to eat me.
Yeah. Okay, now here... Actually makes me wonder what Titan would taste like. But anyway, here's what's I find kind of goofy.
Probably more...
Where you've got the screenshot of her with the two Titans. There's the one that's a really large one in the back, and then the one smaller one in the front. Huh. And you look at it from in the second screenshot, and you're like, he's barely taller than her, and his arms aren't exactly larger. Why would these be an issue? Because a regular human wouldn't even need to use any special gear; just chop its knees off.
True.
Seriously, yeah. Why would you do?
Well, it's because it's their first time on the field, so they would get freaking frightened or something,
I like this comment here. The tables have turned. Now it's Sasha who will feast on the Titans.
First comment is always the best. On that day, the Titans remembered the dread that was life under the knife and fork. The humiliation of sitting on the plate like a piece of cake.
Yeah, I'd kind of love to see this series do a crossover with Toriko.
Just
where it's the Titans are nom nom nom, we eat humans, then just the overpowered gourmet hunters show up and it's like, we eat Titans, nom nom nom.
We eat anything, nom nom nom.
No, we're not joking. Anything.
Oh, no, it's true. In Toriko, it's an eat or be eaten world. It's just seriously.
That's
generally all the news I found for this week. For from December 10 to today. Today.
Fair enough.
More like yesterday, because we're both...
Right. Well, that's just on time. So, all right. Well, this week we have. Okay, we have a fair bit of stuff to go over. We're going to go over volume 3 of Evangelion, the omnibus, containing volume 7, 8, and 9. And then, of course, next week, since it doesn't look like it's going to be off for Christmas week, we're going to be covering the fourth volume of that, covering
Fourth
10,
omnibus.
11, and 12. Yeah, the fourth omnibus. So we'll be going over that. And then, I don't know, what we'll probably do for our special is just go over volume 13 of the series, just, you know, as a, just right before the year ends and before we start our One Piece madness. So, yeah, for now, I think that about wraps things up. So let's, for our news segment. So let's go ahead and move on to our review of Evangelion, and then after that, we'll go ahead and get into this week's chapters, of which there are some amazing ones.
Oh,
So,
yes.
all right, and we'll see you there. It's time for the manga review for the week, and this time we are reviewing Neon Genesis Evangelion Omnibus number 3, containing volumes 7, 8, and 9. Also known as the shit that hit the fan last week, or last volume. Turns out it also has cancer or something. I don't know. There's something even nastier in there, and now you're all sick because the shit splattered all over you in the last volume.
But cancer's not contagious.
I don't know. Poison. It's poison shit. Unlike this week's Toriko chapter. I mean, sorry, what?
That's
No.
horrible.
They're not even going to get that until the next segment. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Anyway, no. Wait, or. I don't know. I'm trying to make some kind of. Anyway, as I was trying
They
to
aren't going
say.
to get into the next segment.
No, yeah, but. So, yeah, stuff gets worse in Evangelion. As Shinji has to deal with the aftermath of Toji's death, and he never wants to pilot Eva again, but then an angel attacks again, and suddenly it's like, maybe you should not be acting like a pussy. Well, okay, that's awful for me to say, but maybe you should actually, you know, put yourself aside and do what's best for humanity. It's Kaji that gives Shinji a talking to, kind of gives him his backstory and everything, and what happened when he himself once kind of betrayed those that were close to him for his own sake. And so it's very much a sort of a tale of, you know, sacrificing yourself and your own needs for the good of, you know, for the good of everyone. And Shinji, he fights the Eva that's already taken out Rei and Asuka. And he manages to kick its butt, but not before the Eva awakens. And I'm going to say, in the anime, this is the best part of the series ever, because the music is just, oh my gosh. And it just tears the angel apart. And it's really well done here, but without that music, it's just not the same. You know?
It was still graphic. I was like,
It
just
was.
looking at the reactions of one of the characters, like, I'm
Yeah.
like, yeah, I don't want to look at that.
Yeah, it's
But
nasty
actually,
and gross.
I was eating a sandwich while reading it. I was like,
How do you eat a sandwich while reading a book? Oh, right. Never mind. But, yeah, and then it turns out Shinji basically becomes absorbed into the Eva. And, at least, he's absorbed in there. Freaking Eva covered in bandages. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrifying.
That a mummy? That's a mummy. That's not a mummy. It's an Eva.
Yeah. And then you've got Kaworu is brought into the story for the first part. So that was volume 7.
Yeah.
Basically, Shinji runs away again, and then he comes back because he had a talking to it. I'm having deja vu here.
Wait,
Like,
what?
you know, it's happened before.
Oh yeah, it happens a lot.
It does kind of happen. I mean, I think that's part of where the annoyance of people that watch or read the series with Shinji comes from, the fact that we go through the same problem over and over again. You know, he's like, I'm never going to pilot Eva. And then he runs away, and somebody says, dude, we're all going to die if you don't pilot Eva. He's like, oh,
And then all of a sudden something happens. He's like, I will buy the Ava again.
yeah,
Hey,
it's, you know,
dude,
it's a
get
bit of
back
a
here.
cycle. But, you know, I mean, in any se other series that could pl be played off for m major laughs, but I can see how people would get annoyed with the, the constant repetition of the whole same thing over and over again, which, it's a valid complaint, but at the same time, I'm thinking that whole repetition works for me because, I mean, this is, if we're going back to the whole concept of he's, he's depressed or he has some kind of mental issue, that's realistic. I mean, you can say, oh, just nut up and do what's best for everyone. At the same time, it's something that keeps coming back. So you end up in a pattern of repeating behavior, just based on which certain mental issues just end up in that cyclical pattern, and it's over and over again. And it's not fun f to read a lot of times, but if it was legitimately meant to be, this is someone that has a very serious problem, and they're going through this problem multiple times over and over and over again, then I can totally buy the fact that it's being done like that. I mean, maybe it's not necessarily the most enjoyable way to read, but sometimes literature ca isn't enjoyable to read. Sometimes when it has something it needs to say, we have to put aside what we want and what we enjoy and view whether what is being done is just shoddy writing or whether there is a purpose behind it. And if there is a purpose, then we have to see what there is to appreciate about it and actually appreciate the intention and whether they actually succeed in what they're intending. Versus, saying, I didn't like how this happened, so I'm going to say that's bad writing. Which in this case,
Ah.
I don't think it is. I think it's, the whole concept of like, if they're really trying to show that, yes, Shinji has mental and emotional problems, then this is, I find this very realistic and relatable to a certain extent. And so that's my take on what we get in Volume 1. So did you have anything you wanted to add, or do you want to move on to talking about Volume 8?
Well, yeah, when you brought the whole, how the whole deja vu thing, yeah, I was like, while reading, I was like, why have I seen this happen before?
Well, we
And
have.
then you mentioned this, and then you mentioned it's probably the reason why people get think Shinji's a putz or whatever, because he's like, can't make up his mind. But at the same time, I kind of can relate because there are people who are like that, even though they say they change and then they go back to being the way they are or haven't changed and stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah, I've been down that road, so I can't really say much.
it's. I don't know. I think it works really well. At least for me, it does. And so,
Yeah.
all right.
Besides, this time he lost a friend. It wasn't just people dying. He lost someone close to him.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this whole, hey, I didn't want to come here, but I found people that I care about. Now I lost one of them.
So people don't act like he's little
Yeah, why don't you go inadvertently murder one of your own friends? Then you'll know what it feels like. You know what? I'm gonna do that right now. Mo, get over here.
I ain't coming over. You get over here.
Get over here. I need to kill you for science.
Just walk through the door and just wait until I get my sledgehammer and bash your brains in.
Mo, you couldn't lift a sledgehammer.
Well, I will try.
And while you're trying, I'm like, here, let me show you how that's done. And then, oh, the tragedy, the pathos, my friend is dead in a freak sledgehammer
A turnabout.
accident. No officers, I have no idea what happened here. It's like, oh, I am so sad. Yeah, but anyway, let's talk about Volume 8. We've got, well, basically the majority of it is Shinji in the Ava, trapped, trying to find his way out, the interpersonal deal. A lot of focus on Misato and Kaji and Rei as well. And we kind of get a lot of symbolism, a lot of nudity, and 14-year-old boy penis. That part I could have done without.
I didn't even see that, thank goodness.
I just randomly flipped it open when I first got this. I was like, oh gosh. It's like the Simpsons movie all over again. But yep, he finally manages to get out. Rei is always like, "Oh, I'm happy he's back." And then, yeah, and then we get a lot of the intrigue, Xayla, the backstory of Shinji's parents and all that, and we, just basically get a lot of that sort of how Nerve was first created and everything, and you get a lot of focus on Kaji and how he's uncovering this, and then Kaji go bye-bye, and it's sad. And yeah, and then you've got, yeah, I'm, yeah, it's kind of, we got Dr. Akagi that kind of, yeah, she kind of goes crazy, tries to kill Rei.
Strangler.
Yeah, definitely, and it's kind of, and then from there we kind of end things with everyone is going nuts, and Shinji and Asuka aren't quite there yet, but you know, there's still like we're starting to see. Oh yeah, Asuka's got some issues that are starting to surface. So yeah, this one was actually no, there wasn't any action in this. You know, there's no angels to fight. It was all just a complete volume focusing entirely on the characters.
A lot
You
of
know.
psychology going nuts here.
Indeed, very much so. It's very whoosh over my head.
Actually, what's interesting about this volume was at the part where Misato commented about how everyone in Shinji school is for the public candidate. See, I didn't know that. The anime never mentioned that. I'm gonna say that much.
I'm pretty
But that
sure
was
the
something
anime
like
at least implied it, at least that's
I
what I
didn't.
remember.
Okay, maybe I implied it, but I didn't get like the actual blunt statement of. I thought they just looked at him and go, okay, this kid's worth it. Just go get him and like, okay, makes sense. Put all
Yeah, it
the
is.
pilots in one place so you can assemble them, and then somehow later on this gets applied to everything, every other series stuff too.
Yeah, pretty much. It's yeah, this one I don't have as much to say about except, you know, the random bunch of nudity in there when I'm like, you know, when we're dealing with ethereal kind of representations of certain characters and ideas, you don't normally have to show their genitalia. You probably could have gotten away with not doing that. But they did, and it's a bit weird because there's times where I'm like, is this Rei or is it his mom? Either way, some of these poses are looking weird.
I think I okay, could most of it was his mom, but it was not his mom at the same time, and I was like, and
Yeah.
then I saw Ray. I was like, okay, that's Ray. And I'm like, I'm not looking. No, I don't care. I just click the next. Just go on to the next page.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I don't know. I don't really have anything else to add about this part. I mean,
But
it's
what
some pretty
difference was
interesting
the
stuff.
Kaji story though?
Oh yeah. They do embellish that a bit more. It's still pretty ambiguous about who exactly it was that shot him, but still, yeah, they do add quite a bit. Honestly, I just want to talk about Volume 9 right now.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because okay, that's so. This one is basically Asuka's continuing mental problems, Shinji meeting Kaoru, the fifth child, and I just want to point out that, if it were, well, honestly, if it were me, I'd probably be like, oh, look, a kitty. I'm gonna take care of you. I don't give a crap what anyone says. And, you know, I know it is very common for people to be all, oh, if I was Shinji, I would have done this. I would have been a total badass and, you know, killed all those angels, no problem, and got with all the girls and stuff like that. This is my moment of something similar to that. I would just like to say that if I were Shinji, I would have decked Kaoru for killing the cat, though preferably I would have decked him before he actually managed to succeed in it. No matter that bullshit, oh, it's going to starve with no mother to feed it. I'm like, it's still alive. It's eating something. So,
True. Well,
yeah.
okay. Just well known separate, but at the same time, stay on topic. Remember that one manga that you hated because the first chapter of how some girl killed a dog just because she thought it was an alien, but never was concurred that it,
Yes,
concluded that it
oh,
was
that
an alien?
manga.
Yes, I know, but at least with Kaoru, it was actually,
Well, that.
dare I say, justified
Well,
because he had a reason
sort
why he
of.
killed.
Except here's the deal. Here's the deal. It's this whole conceit that certain pets would be helpless if not for humans. You know, I mean, yes, it's a kitten. Yes, it was domesticated at some point. Yes, it's fine around humans. But let's not forget, cats are some sadistic sons of bitches. You know, if a cat hunts for fun when it's being fed, I'm pretty sure a cat can take care of itself, even if it's a kitten. I mean, it's just this whole concept of, oh, without its mother, or even, it's not even without its mother, it's this whole idea of, oh, without these, without humans to take care of it, the cat will die, we'd better kill it. And I'm just like, dude, who gives you the right to decide what lives and dies?
Yeah.
You know, it's a cat. Leave the cat
be. It was painful to read because I remember I saw a live actually kitten once, like from a distance. And I was like, what's like, I was looking, I was like, is that a kitten? And the funny thing was, it was looking at me and it was trying to roll, but it couldn't roll. I was like, you trying to roll?
Yeah, it's. Yeah, but yeah, the majority of this. Yeah, this whole thing with Koru is very much. Yeah, where they had this implication of their homosexual tension between them in the anime, it's very much more overt in the manga. Yeah, and I mean and that's kind of what the majority of it is. It's Asuka, you know, going downhill for being, you know, she's not feeling well, and you know, she's having kind of like, she's not doing well with the Ava, and she's thinking like, I need to prove myself. So he goes out, fights this angel that basically attacks her mind and forces itself in there, forces her to relive the pretty terrible memories of when her mother went crazy and tried to murder her, thought a doll was her instead. And it's just like, yeah, it was a pretty bad experience. It's like, you know, they just flat out say is like, yeah, she just flat out says like that the thing's raping her mind, which is pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
I would just like to say that I am no more a fan of mind rape than I am of physical rape. So this was uncomfortable.
Yeah, as far as I know, instead of saying, you know, the ain't that, I would say more that it's just really bad timing of her to fight an angel that happened to be the type that could wreck minds.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's me.
I was like, is this coincidence? This is coincidence. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, and then she, even though she wakes up, she's still just completely catatonic. They don't know if they'll be able to get her back to normal. And then Koru takes over her duties piloting Ava Unit 2.
And manages to sync with it very, very well.
Yeah, it's yeah, and of course there's some continued weirdness with Koru being like, hey, can I borrow some soap when he's in the... And they're in the shower, and Shinji just completely freaks out. And
yeah, there was that one time where he just faced each other. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm sorry for mixing up. I just had to bring that up. I was like,
yeah, it's very weird. Yeah, there's very, it kind of delves into the whole, you know, same sex attraction, but, or, you know, the reaction that someone may have to it if they are not, you know, if that's not in their mind or something, but it's like they're confused and whatnot, and it's like, but yeah, it's, I honestly don't have anything profound to say about that. But then another angel attacks, and it ends with Rei starting to be infested by it.
Yeah, it turns, it's a penetrating type angel.
Don't say that after we just talked about rape.
They
say it's an encroachment type. Thank you very much. That's the official translation.
Encroachment, okay, correct.
There's a reason they didn't use the word you just used.
Right, I read the scantation.
Yeah, bad mo. Bad mo. Buy the volumes. Get a job. Yeah. Anyway, that's volume 9, and that's the entire omnibus. So,
We're almost done.
Almost done. Yeah, well, sort of. This, I mean, with the first volume, it's very much kind of, oh, everything's kind of depressing and everything, but with the first omnibus, but with the second omnibus, I think so far the second omnibus is definitely still my favorite because, you know, it introduces Asuka, one of my favorite characters, and she is, when she's still fun, here it's just like she is completely broken.
It's basically, I like second omnibus too because it's also one of my favorites, and plus it's just where things were a little bit better for everyone before things went downhill.
Asuka's
mind broken, Rei's getting encroached, Shinji's having issues, Kaworu suddenly appeared, Soji is dead, Kensuke is not important anymore. Misato
Yeah.
is, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it is very much. I think, yeah, I mean, last volume was very much a kind of a, oh, everyone's happy and, you know, everything. But then Senna's like, oh, dark things are happening. And then here we're like, no, you don't have any idea. Now dark things are happening. And I'm like, son of a.
It's kind of like it worse now.
Derek,
Things are
not
all.
like. Derek, not like.
You made me read it. You're the only one to read it, you fool.
Bad touch. Bad touch.
Bad blood. What are
Yeah,
we talking
it's
about now?
yeah. Sorry, I think I might be confused. Sorry, I just pulled up the Steam sales on my phone. Because
What?
it's the winter Steam sales, yo.
Winter Steam sales, man?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh,
There's
jeez.
nothing for me to buy. I own them all.
Really now? I'm gonna check.
Well, it's like, oh, what have we got? Gosh darn, I can't even buy BioShock Infinite for $10. I own it. Oh, hey, look, FTL. I'm
Why
sorry,
do
we
you
were
need to
talking about
buy
manga.
BioShock if you actually have
I
owned?
own it
Okay,
already, but. Oh,
talk
hey,
about manga.
Mirror's Edge. But anyway, sorry. I already own it! I'm becoming immune to the Steam sales. I've already ruined myself. What's this? Reseteer? I don't. Oh, I've heard of that.
Oh wow.
Buying. Anyway, what was I? Oh, manga, right. Sorry.
Oh, Dishonored.
Quiet. No, oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. I'm that's yeah, that's hypocritical of myself. Anyway, we were talking about something. Yes, we were. Manga, Evangelion. The shit having hit the fan. And then the Eva coming and eating the shit. There we go. There's my parable. Sorry, I'm but yeah, this is very much the volume where everything is go starting to go bad and it's only going to get worse. So hopefully you enjoyed the first couple volumes because things are going to be very disturbing now, sadly, for
Yeah.
quite some time. And we're getting to the point where, well, okay, so this is the part where Evangelion is, you know, it's all disturbing and sad and everything, and we have to just think, is it still good? You know?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I mean, is it, you know, it's a kind of a thought that's like, does everything need to be happy or can we have sadness? When we get to the ending, which I don't know when volume 14 is actually coming out, so we can't really say anything about it until, you know, that actually comes out, but yeah, it's kind of this. Well, I won't spoil anything, but I will say that the ending of the manga, from what I read, is a lot happier than the ending of the anime or the movies. You know, well, the ending of the anime was decent, but yeah, the ending of the movie was certainly. Ugh. And so I'm not sure how. I mean, we'll have to get into that when we get there, but it is very much a case of, does a happy ending make it better, or does a yeah, or does it, or is it, you know, does it ha always have to be sad and depressing for it to be the true art, or can we go the Don Bluth approach where, you know, everything is terrible and sad, but then the ending is happy?
Yeah, not the Don Bluth approach.
Yeah, I don't know, and I think that's kind of what the anime, the
But
manga takes, but well.
I do prefer happy endings because personally, after I
Yeah.
go through all that crap, I don't want to feel like really badly, especially since if people read something, if they don't feel anything, then it hasn't done its job. And if they're gonna
Yeah.
feel crap, at least make them feel good because making them feel crap, it can actually mess with their own mental health in some way or other.
Yeah,
And
well.
some people are not as sturdy as other people are.
Yeah. I mean, my advantage is that I consumed the series ages ago, so I'm kind of immune now, knowing everything that happens.
I'm immune too anyway.
But yeah, I think, but yeah. Let's see. I think that's about all we really can say about this volume. I mean, it's definitely it does deviate quite a bit from the anime, even more so than volume 2 did. Well, maybe not necessarily that much more, but it does deviate a significant amount, which is good in a way because it allows the series to become its own, you know, its own story. It does. It still has a lot of the themes that the anime had, but at the same time, it's different enough that it is something you can enjoy without feeling like you're just reading the exact same story again. So, which I think makes it these kind of slight differences that make a manga adaptation of an anime better than if it were just a straight up adaptation. So, all right. But for now, I think that's about it. We're going to go ahead and talk about this week's chapters, shall we?
This week's chapters.
Yes.
Coming soon.
Right now.
Right now.
It's time for the Shonen Jump commentary for the week. This week we unfortunately don't have any Kodansha chapters. It looks like this is their week off, which usually happens around Christmas time with the chapters. So I believe from what I could see, we have chapters next week. So I'm going to assume the week after that, like the week after Christmas, we probably won't have anything. So we can probably do like a special or something or just take the time off depending on how we feel. But for now, let's talk about the actual chapters. So, Naruto chapter 658, Bijuu versus Madara.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I got a kick out of this chapter how, you know, we end last chapter with all these, you know, all the ninjas there and looking all, you know, intimidating. Is this large army supplemented by the tailed beasts? And then the very beginning of this chapter, some of the ninjas are like, maybe this isn't a good place for us to be right now. Let's get out of here. And then they run. Wow. If that isn't a commentary on the side characters in this series, I don't know what is. Actually, I think most of them left. The only ones still there are like Naruto, Gaara, and Sasuke. And was Sai there? I can't remember.
Well, of course, this is a smart idea for the side characters to go, we're just going to be in the way, so we're gonna get out of here before, we die, like,
I mean, yeah,
he did.
Yeah, it's a smart thing to do, but at the same time, it makes them seem so pathetic, you know?
Well, you know, yeah. It's just how it is, you know, the certain characters in series, they, you know, basically, you know, if we're focused on the main character, Naruto, of course, he's the most powerful one in terms of, you know, it's status as main character.
Right.
You can't die in such
a thing.
Plot armor. Protagonists always have that. But because they're side characters, they're powerful too, but they don't have that special ability or power, special perk that the main character has.
Well, yes.
Other than being a side character, and sometimes side characters tend to be more often the main character.
Yeah, yes, but still. It's just so silly where they're like, look, we're badass and we're going to do something. Actually, maybe we should leave. It's just kind of silly. But, and then it's kind of hard to talk about this series because it has been nothing but fighting for months now. I mean, a good fight is all good and great, but, I mean, Bleach. I mean, One Piece hasn't been all fighting. There's been a lot of, you know, character development, plot development, and all that.
Lots of plot development.
Yeah, so, you know, it's giving us more meat, not just more fighting, and I can't say that anything interesting actually happens this chapter.
So in other words, Naruto just having us gnawing on the bone until the meat regrows, but it will never regrow because it'll take a long time for that to happen.
Dude, we finished the meat years ago.
Yeah, and even if it does, it'll only be a little bit of meat.
Yeah. I mean, sure, it's awesome seeing all the tailed beasts fight like that, but at the same time, it's more fighting.
Yeah. You know?
And it's just tiring. I mean, you can't have a climax go on for this freaking long. It's ridiculous. Well, this is supposedly... if the series is meant to end, then end it. Don't have it just be going on forever and ever with the worst parts of the series. The fighting is not interesting.
Well, send a letter to the editor because they're the ones that are doing this to him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wants to end it. I'm sure he really wants to end it.
They're gonna listen to a foreigner. Like, honestly.
Well, of course, Japan doesn't like foreigners.
Well, no, it's just, you know, it's like it's made for their market. The fact that it's bought elsewhere is just, you know, unimportant. But yeah, and
Japan stays in Japan.
What happens in Japan stays in Japan. No. It's more like what happens in North Korea stays in North Korea.
Oh, boy. Let's not go there.
Yeah, no, that's not. Instead, let's, you know what, we're not going to spend much time on Naruto, because we've got bigger fish to fry. We have One Piece, Chapter 731, Operation SOP. And so, this chapter, well, for one, we finally get the end of that stupid Karibo
yes, it finally stories. Ends. Finally ends. Like a 45.
Too long.
Too long. How long was the last one though? The last one was basically the one with the how all the other characters are doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that.
That's not the one. I don't mean now. I meant the other one before, but the one before Marvel, the one with from I think Enno or something.
Enro. I don't know. I guess that one lasted for a while, but it was interesting. This side story just wasn't interesting because it was about a character that nobody cared about. So I don't see why we had to get so much focus on that most worthless of characters.
Well, he won the Drake. We'll probably see him later on.
Yeah, probably, but it's stupid. Oh, well. Let's see. Let's just talk about the chapter itself. So... All right, well, it's kind of interesting seeing Bartolomeo defending Bellamy, who is looking pretty pathetic right now. That seems to be his lot in life, being all confident and then looking freaking pathetic.
It's really sad, though. I mean, you know, I mean, the first time with Bellamy, we hated him because of how he was acting, but then, you know, we realized, hey, this, and later on, hey, the guy's changed.
Yeah.
He still has loyalty to Doflamingo, but
yeah,
he's not, like, douche anymore.
Yeah, definitely not. It's like he's had a rough time of it, and I like character development, you know.
Yeah.
You take a guy that's a douchebag and then make him not a douchebag. That's always interesting, and I think Oda does a really good job of that a lot of times. I mean, it's a common trope for a manga, but yeah, Oda does a really good job of it when he decides to do it.
It doesn't feel like a common trope. If it's a common trope, it might be a common trope in real life because
it's a common trope in manga such as, you know, History's Strongest Disciple Kenichi, Fairy Tale, Bleach, Naruto.
Oh, I see. The douche becoming, the douche actually realizing, yeah. Hey, maybe like, the stuff I've been doing was bad, but like, oh, yeah. Maybe, hey,
like
I
a former antagonist becoming a good guy or something, you know. I mean, we know that's going to happen. And it's also kind of fun that we get to see, you know, as much as he is a complete fanboy, while at the same time a horrific mobster. He has very much a very shonen hero simplistic view of things where he defends. He defends Bellamy because he's like, we fought together. That makes us comrades in battle. And it's a very Luffy kind of trait, and I like that.
You know what's funny? If Bartolomeo's design makes it feel like he could actually appear in the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure series.
A bit, yeah.
Almost, it's like, and then he's like, you know, the way his whole shonen chivalry hero thing going on.
It is very interesting, and it's kind of like this. I really like this character because we keep getting multiple facets to him, and they don't necessarily, you know, they're not necessarily contradicting each other, which is nice. But we then move on to the...
What? Okay, the toy transformer.
We haven't gotten to that yet.
No. Why?
It's the Operation Dressrosa SOP. We're getting there. So we go back to the flower field where... They basically explain the plan for exactly how they're going to infiltrate the secret underground factory. They're gonna rescue, you know, they'll rescue everyone. And what they plan to do is they're going to go after the one who turned everyone into toys in the first place. She's basically her name is Sugar, and she basically, her power puts her into a freezes her at a certain age. So she looks like a young kid all the time. So it's a bit similar. I don't know why it would
Like
do that.
Baby
It's,
Doll.
yeah, well, baby doll.
Batman?
All right, yeah.
Man, you.
Oh, shut up. No, but yeah, it took me a moment. I was thinking One Piece and I was like, baby doll,
Oh
wait.
yeah. Oh no, it's Baby Five.
Yeah, I was like, I heard
What the?
my
How did
brain
we get
wasn't making the
this?
connection, but yeah, but it's kind of like
Baby Fish.
it's kind of like what's her face? Bonnie, how she can change her age.
Am.
But it's also kind of, you kind of have to wonder, why would the fruit that allows her to turn people into toys make her freeze at a certain age? Is it because toys are for children, so she has to be a
Coffee.
child to use the toy, to
Yeah.
create toys? I guess that kind of works, but the basic idea is that, if they give her, if they knock her out or give her a shock, that will, break the curse. I'm not sure whether the whole, if we knock her out, if we give her a shock so great she loses consciousness, you kind of have to wonder, okay, so how does that work exactly? She loses consciousness, and then that means that everyone, the her power's undone. So has she not been sleeping the past 14 years? I mean, why would, I mean, it would make, I mean, it feels like they're supposed to say we have to kill her to undo it, but because it's One Piece, that can, you can't do that. And
Plus, it's a
so,
little girl.
yeah.
Even if it is a woman who's pretty much trapped in the form age of little girl, it's
Yeah.
still a little girl in appearance.
Yeah, which is why
And it
you
will
can.
make people like look at it and go,
That would be uncomfortable,
yeah.
yes. But at the same time, the whole we have to knock her out makes no sense. Why is forcefully knocking her out any different than her just falling asleep? But yeah, I love.
They need Chopper to
I don't
fight.
know.
That's the only way I can see it.
Yeah, I love Usopp's reaction. It's like, our enemy's a little girl? Follow my lead! And then Franky makes the best hair ever. It's a freaking cannon.
Really, it looked like a hammer, but okay, a
It's a
cannon.
cannon. I mean, look at it real close. It's a gun. It's got the hammer on it and everything.
Awesome.
But yeah,
Cannon hair.
and
Cannon hair.
yeah, and we go on. Luffy runs into Bellamy and dang it, Bartolomeo. That's
Bartolomeo,
it.
man.
Yeah. Bellamy and Bartolomeo, and Bartolomeo almost passes out, but then he's like, oh no, he's like, I can't look at him, but I will. He managed to actually talk to him, and they're basically saying, wait, he's like, dude, you can't get out of here. And Bellamy is like, I can't betray Doflamingo's trust. And you're like, dude. But
I feel sorry for him,
yeah, he basically is like, hey, if I'm leaving, so if you want to come along, if you want to happen to follow me, that won't be a problem.
You happen to follow me.
And yeah, and I really love this where Luffy basically says, you know what? There's one guy that I don't want to have the flame fruit, but my crew's life is more important than that. So he's basically saying, oh, I need to go save them. And Bartolomeo is saying, oh, don't worry, I'll win it for you. Then some
Right.
other guy shows up and says, I'm not letting you have the flame fruit, Straw Hat Luffy. And man, and he's just basically is like just goes knocks Bartolomeo out away and goes to talk to Luffy. And we go back into the arena and we see that Rebecca and Acilia, one of the other fighters, who turns out to be a woman, looking a lot more like one of the Amazons than a non-Amazon woman in One Piece. And yeah, you've got Luffy and the stranger. They're arguing, and Luffy looks angry and then sad at the same time. And then it's just the greatest shock face ever, made more awesome by the fact that he has a pimpin' beard. Mean, just look at that. That's one of the best. I mean, yeah, I just look. Yeah, I never thought we'd get this kind of face from Luffy of all people. I mean, we've gotten Enaru, we've gotten Caesar, we've gotten Perona. Anyone else recently? I can't remember.
I can't remember, but yeah, just those are a few we can name. He can
Oh,
name some of
I guess Jinbei kind of counts.
Oh yeah, Jinbei.
Yeah, when he sees the princess, he's like, "What? Princess?
Why is the princess here?"
And of course, Oda. I mean, we'll talk about this at the end, but Oda's being very sort of like kind of vague about who this, you know, person is. Obviously, he had an effect on Luffy, and you've got Luffy and, you know, and Zoro and Kinemon escaping in these, like, animal costumes that he made. You're just like, what the? And Luffy's just going on, is like, I'm not worried about the flavor fruit.
Oh, dear. Flavor.
It's like, yeah, and then, okay, here we have something that I was spoiled about because One Piece fans on DeviantArt don't think, apparently, and don't realize that, hey, you know how the official release worldwide is Monday,
awesome.
Not Wednesday the previous week. And so, of course, you have all over DeviantArt and Tumblr, you've got people posting this image of a certain someone, a koala, who is the little girl from Jinbei's flashback. And it turns out she is a member of the Revolutionary Army. And she's all grown up now. Don't you think?
And she's also
what?
A master of karate.
Fisherman karate.
Fisherman karate.
Assistant
a master.
Fisherman karate master. So most likely she's probably, you know, she's talking on a Denden Mushi, which were kind of, you know, I'm thinking she was probably the one that Hack was talking to, since he's a fisherman karate master, so she's probably studied under him.
Yeah.
Man, also, I just want to say that saying things like Denden Mushi and Mushishi is really, really weird for me.
Don't worry, it took me a while to realize I'm not supposed to say Shishi twice. Three times.
Mushishi.
It's not Mushishishi, it's Mushishi. I keep getting it wrong.
It sounds like a One Piece laugh. Mushishishishishi.
Watch, it's going to be a laugh.
Yeah, probably. But still, that. Just the mushy part of it is really weird for me to say because it's a slang word in German that means a certain part of a female genitalia.
Why?
Actually, it is the female genitalia.
Well, in World War II, Germany and Japan were allies.
The Germans taught them their word for pussy and never actually bothered to tell the Japanese what it means. Or maybe the Japanese know what it means, they just pretend like they don't, and watch all the Germans look really uncomfortable. They're like, what the crap?
I'm gonna go with the latter, because that sounds just hilarious, and it sounds But
anyway, perversion aside, we find out that she is talking to someone who is now wearing Luffy's Lucy costume. And I kind of like the little, sort of, like, addition where she's like, sounds like Robin's here in this country. It'd be so nice to see her again. So like, oh, hey, look, someone knows Robin. And she's like, I'm glad you found him too. He's like, yeah, I thought he might hit me. And he's like, are you crying? He's like, why would I cry? And he's like, and then I like that little addition. So like, oh, hey, this isn't some, hey, I'm this, you know, I've been gone all this time, but when I come back, I'm going to be all cool and collected. But no, it's actually, you know, dude's showing emotion. And then we get to, he basically says, Ace's fruit is mine. And it's like, it's up to us to continue living out his will. And she does, and Koala does say, you know, if you'd have been there, it wouldn't have changed anything. You know, no one can know whether it would have changed anything. Mm-hmm. And we basically get everyone's like, who is this? And Luffy's like, I thought he died. It's like, I really, really thought he was dead. And we end on a shot of three sake glasses.
Three. So,
yes.
It's obvious who it is.
It would take a dunce of colossal proportions not to figure out who this is, unless, of course, this is your first chapter of One Piece, in which case, probably not the best place for you to start.
Well, I'm not going to include that. First, I'm going to include the dunce. Pretty much, if you cannot figure this out despite reading it all the way through, and at least gathering all this information.
Yeah.
I am sorry. You can still read One Piece, but I will consider you probably the stupidest person ever.
Reading One Piece?
To read One Piece.
I highly doubt there's anyone like that, honestly. Because no, Oda's making it pretty darn obvious. I mean, he's not flat out stating it, but it's not supposed to be this, you know, it's not supposed to be, oh, who is this person? No, no, it's flat out obvious who this dude is.
Actually, it took me a while. It took me a while to realize that he and Luffy switch places.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. I went.
I was like, wait, why is Luffy still there? I was like, wait, Luffy's. Wait, I'm like, wait, and then I ran. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's basically. Oh. Yeah, the certain someone whose name we won't state yet because it was not flat out stated in the chapter. I would you laugh so hard if it turns out that this is just some random other person from Luffy's past and Oda just was deliberately trolling us.
That'd be so mean.
That would be like, Oda, you son of a bitch. How dare you? No, well, he can dare anything he wants, honestly, by this point. But I will say, even though I complain about people that spoil crap, I was spoiled by the fact that Koala was going to be in the chapter, and I was like, oh, this is a girl from that flashback. That annoyed me. But I am thankful that the people on DeviantArt and Tumblr are not so jerky as to spoil the fact that a certain someone is probably back. But I guess the way Oda writes it makes it very difficult to spoil that by showing any images. You know, you show any image involving this certain someone, and it's not, unless you've read the entire chapter, you're not going to get it. Well, except for that last page. You know, that would have been pretty darn obvious.
I've been like, oh.
Yeah, I was actually really angry when I found out that Koala was in the chapter and I was spoiled. And I was just like, oh, jeez. It's like, okay, so it's Koala, so this means Jinbei is going to be in the chapter, which.
I see, for the long time, I thought the spoilers mean something else. And I just think I was going through my hair lots and there. I'm like, no.
It's very.
But
it's
my obvious. Second thought was the was the one that I believe is the obvious one.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a surprise that certain someone is still alive, but at the same time, the way he's being brought in is incredibly surprising. I mean, nobody could have predicted that Oda was going to reveal that this certain someone is still alive in this chapter. I mean, it's just. I mean, that's where you take a good twist. You take a, this is obvious, and then put it in an unexpected place. You know, that's how you can still pull off a good twist without, you know, it being a complete twist. It's, you know, it's still parts of it are obvious, but its location in the story is completely unexpected. So
actually, here's the interesting thing about this. When I saw that certain person, even though he was not fully revealed, basically, let me get this straight. Can anyone just be in the Colosseum, or only the contestants can be in it? Well, I need that question answered.
I'm going to assume he snuck in.
Okay, he snuck in. Okay,
If he remains more powerful than Luffy, as he was when they were younger, then chances are he could sneak his way in.
True.
But I mean, they are the Revolutionary Army. There is kind of the point. That is kind of the point of what they
this
do.
This is the army that's headed by Dragon
Luffy's dad. So I mean, we've got the connection. You know, we got Luffy and this certain someone, and then Koala apparently interacted with Robin during the 2-year time skip. Mm-hmm. So that'll be kind of interesting, and it's like we're getting some pretty strong connections between Luffy's crew and the Revolutionaries. So I don't know. We know it's going to happen eventually, but I think Luffy's first meeting with Dragon might be closer than we expect.
Mm.
I kind of look forward to that.
But how will it turn out?
Exactly, we don't know.
So I mean, the way we've seen Dragon so far is like, I mean, he's just serious, but you never. Why is it being a bit of goofball?
I could totally see him basically being exactly like Luffy, which I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But I think that's probably enough talking about that. Let's talk about World Trigger. Mo.
Fine.
We have to talk about other manga too. We're not a One Piece podcast. That honor is already taken. Although I guess we could do it if we wanted. I mean, nobody called dibs, but my bother.
Yeah, the other one is an unofficial One Piece podcast.
Well, yes, but they're still. Dude, they've been around for so many years, and they have such a following that anyone else trying to do it, that would just be silly.
Yeah, let's not just do it. Just be whatever we're doing. Yeah. Stick to what we're doing.
But yes, like I said, World Trigger, chapter, whatchamacallit.
Yuichi Jin, Part 7, on chapter 43, sorry.
Oh wow, man, this series has been going on for a while. But yeah, so there's a lot of talking character moments, character reasons, people in the class being like, "Oh hey, Ikumo, congrats on being promoted to B rank." And then suddenly the attack happens almost immediately, and I'm like, "Wait, what? Well, that was fast. That's interesting. I guess it's going the route of, hey, we've been way too slow. We need a lot of action now."
And here's what I'm thinking about, since we know how when they're in the Trium boss, they don't really get killed. When the Trium leaves, they could easily get killed.
Well, yeah, I mean,
The
if they.
question is it gonna turn to a dark and gritty series? Because here's the thing, ladies, these days, these few couple years, series like those have been a bit more popular, without the
Yeah,
whole, not
true.
getting killed and stuff, but more like, they can actually get killed, but at the same time have good character development stuff.
Yeah, it could be an ploy to get a, to get us in a false sense of security about whether characters can stay alive. I wouldn't be surprised if they, I mean, they'd still have, evacuate after their Trion bodies get damaged, but it's not like they can go immediately back into them. So
True.
I kind of imagine what might happen is there'll be an attack on the main base where where they bail out with to their real bodies after they get injured.
See,
So.
the only other Shonen series I remember reading before it got moved to a month to being monthly was Big Rayman. Man. That one had characters actually dying. It had a really powerful character who was mentioned before he actually appeared dying. I'm like, what?
I could definitely see this series going that route, and I don't think I'd mind that so much. It would definitely raise the stakes, so I guess we'll have to see what happens.
If it does, I will actually applaud it. If
Yeah.
it doesn't, I'm not going to be happy. I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, I think I'm going to be satisfied with what's coming because so
Yeah.
far World Trigger has shown itself capable of providing interesting fights. So I don't think we'll have to worry about
It's.
the about getting weary of it like we have a
Yeah,
climax.
as long as I don't see any more human versus human fights, because I've done enough of that in games in general, and trust me,
True.
those get annoying.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. But I don't know, I don't have anything else to say about that chapter. Let's move
It was
on.
all right.
Yeah, is aight. Let's move on to Seraph of the End, Chapter 7, New Family. Okay.
Oh man, my reaction to this chapter, and then at the end of it, oh, okay, never mind.
I don't know, I kind of like the way they show that he's, well, how he manages to get. Yoichi manages to get taken over because he's stable and everything, but at the same time he doesn't have a driving thirst for revenge or anything
Thank
like
goodness.
other people have in this series. And so it's like that because he doesn't have a such a strong desire, he gets taken over.
That is weird. If you have a, you don't have a strong desire, you get taken over. You have a strong desire, you can't get taken over.
Yeah,
That's not.
it's like
Oh,
the.
no, it's not weird. I think I get it. It's like this. If they have a strong desire, they pretty much cannot get their mind changed. They know what they want, and they can, they can keep their minds sensible and straight,
Yeah.
and reason with the demons, and even negotiate with them. But when they're not, when they're stable, but not, their desire is not set in stone, they can get a little wishy-washy, and then demon goes, "Oh, I'll help you."
I'm not buying it because the strong
Not?
desires that we've seen are for revenge,
I
and
know.
that is an easily corruptible emotion, and any proper demon would take advantage of that. Someone that, doesn't have anything to be tempted with should not be able to be taken over like that. That defeats the whole purpose of a demon. It
Yes, that
should
does.
basically, what it should basically be is, hey, he can't use the power, but he's not going to get taken over because the demon has no power over him. It's not like a demon just suddenly randomly is able to take power over anyone. They have to actually have an in. They have to, it has to be with someone that has something that it can be tempted with, such as the desire for revenge, which is a strong negative emotion and is something that the demon can tempt them with. And if the demon is able to tempt them, they give them the power, but at the same time, they slowly become overcome by the influence of the demon. Someone that has no such desires should not, it's someone that's
That is
stable should not be able to be taken over forcefully like that. That's That's just ridiculous.
Good point.
And besides, just to
back up your point on the whole, you know, someone's got strong desire for revenge, of course they get beat. When Gurren said, "Hey, make sure you guys don't use your power, because you shouldn't use them right now, and because, you know, if they did, they easily get taken over."
Yeah, I don't know. The whole use of demons in this is, I think it's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Because the writer, the people making this clearly don't understand how this. You know, how this is properly supposed to work. I mean, they barely understand how freaking vampires work.
Demons are stronger than vampires.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's basically all they took from it is, oh, demons, more powerful than vampires, so we'll use them to destroy vampires. And yet at the same time, you're thinking, you don't know how they properly work. And if you don't...
Like, why can't you use vampires as weapons to defeat demons? Why can't you kind of do that?
I don't know, that might be a little more interesting.
Hey, Kota Hirano, this is actually something you should do.
Well, yeah, he more or less did that, but I don't know, and I guess we're leading towards a big, you know, an attack by the vampires, and I'm like, geez, what's with all the wars going on here? So, I don't know. This, for the most part, this was kind of a very standard, oh, you need to defend your friends and have the blah, blah, and all that, you know, don't live for revenge, live for your family that you have now that you'll defend them. It's generic shonen mixed with a base misunderstanding of, you know, European, of, you know, Christian / Hebraic mythologies. I mean, there's nothing that I find appealing about this series. So we're going to go ahead and talk about Toriko, chapter 261, Otake's Ambition. So
that was a very sad story.
It was, yeah, it was, but at the same time, I'm like, why are you feeding poison ingredients to orphans? I mean, seriously, do people in this world go around feeding fugu to orphans if they don't know what they're doing? I'm pretty sure they don't. I don't see why you'd have to have poison ingredients that need special preparation and feed them to freaking children. Just get some of the food that isn't poisonous. It can't possibly be that difficult to find it.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay, but basically, what happened with the kids in the Otake story was that they ate some food that were not prepared. They were prepared well, but they were not like the quality ingredients.
Well, specifically, what it like says is, okay, let's go back. Yeah. Pretty soon there was the incident, the mass food poisoning at the orphanage you came from. Like some poisoned ingredients weren't detoxified enough, and the children who ate them got food poisoning. All 12 children died from the poison. Why would you feed poisoned ingredients? Ever. I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's like, I'm pretty sure in all the wide world, Toriko, you can find something that isn't toxic. You can find something that doesn't need to be detoxified. Usually, and this may seem strange to someone that comes from a place where they eat poisoned fish willingly on the off chance that they won't get poisoned, most countries do not eat poisoned food. If we find something that's poisoned, we say, you know what? Let's not eat this.
Let's kill it, but not eat it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there are plenty of people that are like, oh, hey, rattlesnake tastes plenty fine, or cobra tastes plenty fine, but at the same time, we don't eat them. Like, yeah, these things
Chinese
are poisonous.
Chinese bite the scorpion tails off, but then they eat the scorpion.
Yeah, but sure, if you remove the poison, it'd probably be plenty safe, but at the same time, the thing had poison in it at one point.
Not a blowfish.
Let's not eat it.
Don't eat the blowfish.
I mean, it's still really sad, but it's kind of like, couldn't it have just been, well, I don't know, it's like,
Why would you poison kids in the first place, is the question?
I don't know, he finds out that the ingredients were cheap. So it's like, you know, these are cheap ingredients, and so they're not as safe, and nobody had the skill to prepare such simple poisonous foods. But at the same time, you're like, again, I'm pretty sure you can find plenty of cheap food that isn't poisonous.
You said poison? I didn't catch the poison part, to be honest. I just thought that the whole Chifu was not prepared properly and they died or something.
Well, it's, I mean, that's what it should have gone with. It should have just been basic food poisoning. You know, it didn't have to be something poisonous, or maybe something poisonous got slipped in there by accident. But no, it's basically every single ingredient there was poisoned. They knew it was poisoned, and they knew they had to detoxify it. They just didn't detoxify it enough. That seems like an excessive risk that you shouldn't be taking at a stupid orphanage.
Well, so ironic, I got food poisoning yesterday, too.
Yeah, so it deflates the whole sadness of the story when there's such an easy answer. I mean, look, one of the... Okay, let's see. What are some of these called? Four-layer shell.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. That's fine. What else?
Not some poison ingredient.
Wolf's Bane Clam. Hmm. Wolf's Bane Clam.
Wait.
I find most seafood to be fishy as it is. Haha. But one that specifically has the name of an incredibly poisonous plant.
Kill shell.
Probably, yes, kill shell. Why would you feed that to anyone, ever?
Okay, now I think his past story kind of sounds silly now.
It is. I mean, the whole, they died from food poisoning, that's sad. But the fact that it was such an easily avoidable tragedy by not using those poisoned ingredients that you knew were poisoned, that you knew had to be detoxified, makes it just seem so ridiculous. It's like, yeah, it's sad, but it's like a Darwin Award death, you know? Where it's, yeah, it's sad that human beings died, but at the same time, the way they died was so ludicrous that you can't help but laugh a little bit. So, I mean, yes, it was sad, the whole, his backstory, why he wanted to buy all those reviews and everything and become... you know, become more popular, why he wanted people to know about him. He sort of, you know, he wanted to do it for the kids because he felt sorry for them because of, you know, he wasn't paying enough attention to them and whatnot. But it's, so that all, that works. I like that. But the basic premise of these kids ate poisoned food and they died doesn't work if it's these kids ate poisoned food that they knew was poisoned in advance and yet they still ate it. That just seems like, no, really. I mean, no.
Why did I not catch that?
It's kind of silly.
I did not catch that at all. I just thought it was just bad. I just thought it was just cheap ingredients, poorly, you know, prepared. But I didn't catch part of their poison.
That's what it should have been. I mean, we're talking about children who don't necessarily have the best constitution. I mean, you know, it's a lot easier for a child to get sick and die than it is for an adult. That's a sad fact of life. And so something as simple as food poisoning could have killed an entire orphanage's worth of children. The food didn't need to be poisoned in the first place, because then it just becomes careless. I mean, maybe one of the ingredients was spoiled but nobody noticed it, or there was, in its production, there was some kind of defect that made it poisonous. But if you're specifically taking poisoned food and trying to prepare it in a way that you should have known you don't have the skill for, you shouldn't have... I mean, just the fact that it was cheap ingredients should have been enough. Cheap, unsafe standard of production. Meaning something got...
FDA.
Yeah, like, you know, maybe some horse meat got in the beef, but instead of horse meat, it was poison meat got into the beef. You know, something people weren't paying attention because they sell it for cheap. They don't want to spend money doing all the quality control, hence why substandard ingredients get out, and those substandard ingredients become something dangerous if improperly prepared. It doesn't specifically have to be these are poisoned ingredients. It should have been, hey, let's not feed this food to children that we cannot properly prepare, because you should know, if you're any kind of chef, you should know, hey, I'm not qualified to prepare fugu. Like, for me, example, if I want to make sushi, I've never done it before, but after a while I could probably figure it out and do it safely, but I'm not going to prepare fugu because I know I'm not going to do it right. So any kind of chef involved in an orphanage should know, I don't know what I'm doing. This isn't something we should risk. I mean, maybe they had no choice. It was literally, because it's poisonous, it becomes more, it's more affordable, plus it being cheap. But usually, ingredients that are poisonous require so much preparation that they become incredibly expensive. So it makes no sense that they're... Ah. I'm sorry, I just ruined the chapter for you.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Because you are right. That is... Basically, what I can say from Phil's standpoint is that they knew what they were doing. They knew they were trying to cook poison or spoiled food, I guess. It was pretty much stupid. It should have said spoil instead of poison.
Well,
poison.
If they use the word poison, it means they were trying to prepare fugu for them, not the chicken had gone off and had salmonella in it. I mean, come on! Salmonella! Fantasy salmonella. Do that! Do it like this... 10-headed chicken was spoiled and had salmonella and they died from salmonella poisoning. That works just fine.
I mean, it'd still be silly, but at least it would make sense.
Yeah, they were trying to prepare fugu for the children. That seems like a stupid idea. And it's kind of hard to feel sad. On the plus side, we do see that, hey, look, Midora's there and Komatsu's with Midora now, so that'll be interesting.
That panel was kind of funny. Like, when I just thought I saw Midora like being like the father coming home from work saying, "Honey, Greg, gather the kids. It's dinner time."
That is, oh gosh, now I'm imagining it was like Salaryman Midora. Okay, that's silly. All right, next chapter. Time to talk about One Punch Man, chapter 31. Two chapters
from
in a row.
Outer space.
My gosh, that spaceship looks freaking glorious. I mean, that two-page spread with the spaceship is amazing.
Did you stare at me for a long time?
Were there other pages in this chapter? I didn't notice.
Yes, there were other pages, but it wasn't as long.
Yeah, but basically it's a spaceship comes, it destroys the king, the Sky King, ruler of the air, and I really like that because you basically had, I don't know, you saw... I mean, we started off with the Under King, and he was easily defeated. But then we see the Ocean King. We actually get to see how he fared against people that weren't Saitama. And then that just goes to show how deadly this new menace, this alien menace is. Which, you've got like a weird gargoyle-like thing with multiple heads and a hammer for a hand. And it's like, jeez, what is that? But
yeah, that thing is terrifying. Trust me, it's terrifying.
Yeah, tell me about it. We've got, and I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. I guess it's E.I. Ron.
E.I. Ron, you know, like the word E.I., the whole drawing of one motion, slashing and drawing it back up, removing your sword.
Okay, yeah, that's what I
like
thought
that
it was.
Style of sword.
Yeah, button. But then at the same time, he has the word iron in his name because...
I know.
You know, because, you know, he's wearing armor. And I will say it is kind of silly looking at someone wearing European-style heavy plate armor while still carrying a Japanese katana.
Yeah.
It's just like, the two don't mix very well, dudes.
Why can't it be a samurai carrying a European sword? Then, I mean, I'm not saying why it can't be, why can't it be another one? And then be like, hey, look.
He's like, you dude, you want to trade? Yeah, like, but, I don't know, at the same time, it is, I don't know, it feels like anyone that would decide to use a European sword and wear samurai armor would probably have the sense to say, you know what, European armor was better. I should probably wear that instead of this if I'm going to bother using one of their weapons. But yeah, I will say though, this dude's pretty badass. Where it's like, you know, he manages to get out of the way, so you're like, all right, he's already powerful, and he does the whole slice and cuts most of the thing's heads off. So I'm like, okay, this is probably not going to end well for him.
Yeah, knowing how it goes, yeah. You'll see more of him, don't worry.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good. But, yeah, this was a good chapter. I mean, once again, the art was just phenomenal. I swear, this is one of those series where, you know, you get the punchline, you get some badass moments, but the real reason to come back here is the art porn. Wait.
You just use that word.
I don't think that works the way I meant it to. Well, you know how with food porn, you know, where it's not actually porn, but it's food, and it's food just pictures of food made to look ridiculously good.
And scenery porn, and then, okay.
There you go, yes, spaceship porn. That works, yeah. Or just, I don't know, just art for art's sake, and I like.
Okay.
So, yeah, I like this chapter. It was great. Quite excellent.
It was.
Indeed.
Sorry, Kellenberg.
No worries, I had the same thing happen. But let's see, Bleach chapter thingamajiggy.
561. The title is A Villain. And I'll say why, because that title comes at the very end of the chapter.
Oh dear. But yeah, dude ends up shooting a laser beam from his head.
The guy likes to say star this, and I'm looking, I'm like, oh my god, this was bad. Angel Dash.
But yeah,
Dash.
the dude James, he ends up dying because love, I think it's love, yeah.
Yep.
Cuts him like in half and they're like, no. And then he does the whole bunkai and is like, I'm using music to control you, and like any idiot, he's like, I control music, and so what does the masked guy do? He punctures his eardrums so he can't hear, so the power has no effect on him.
That's actually a smart thing to do. It's like,
yeah, this, children, is why you don't explain your powers. Ever.
You never explain your powers. You just beat them up. Yeah, and then they go, how'd you beat me? I'm not going to tell you. You lost.
And then dude love ends up with a star-shaped hole in his chest.
Star chest!
Yeah, and you're just... But then Renji shows up to save the day, and you're sort of like, boy.
Yeah,
another one that's going to get his ass kicked.
Basically, what's his name? Storm Raider guy, you know, the mask guy, is like, who are you? And Renji's like, a villain. I'm like,
oh, dear. Cut to the title. Actually, like, oh, God, Bleach.
The arm looks a little different. Just a little different now, I noticed.
Slight design changes. I think his sword looks a bit different, too.
But yeah, I really hope that now, for once, these guys actually can hold up against the so-called most powerful antagonist for the arc. Instead of being, like in Wakamundo, they go against the Arrancar, and then you can see his spine and get their butt kicked. I'm like, oh, come on.
He's like, yeah. He is hoping that Renji actually does something. Because
we're trying to arrest you, but we're like, we're here to fight you. I'm like, dude, you're trying to rescue someone. You're not trying to fight me.
He's like, dude, just get out of there. He's like, no, we're so powerful that we can take care of this, no problem.
I have a Bankai.
Yeah, but...
it's broken.
Crap. No, but yeah, I like Renji. I like his backstory and everything. Same. I just hope we get more. He's one of the few Soul Reaper characters I actually do like, so I'm hoping we get something cool with him. I've almost forgot. With the way Bleach has been going the past couple years, I almost forgot the dude existed.
I knew he existed.
I forgot about him. I was like, dude, wait, suddenly he's here. I'm like, oh yeah, this guy. Jeez.
Yahya's vice captain.
I know, but he hasn't done a damn thing. So
that's true. He hasn't done anything since.
Ever.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, that's the thing about Bleach right here.
Yeah.
They basically introduce a character that we really like, but then they end up focusing on the character that we don't really, you know. Okay, I'm not going on Bleach, man. This is too much. Trust me. I want to, but no, I don't want to right now. I want to rant like he did about Toriko.
Yeah, ranting's nice, but I don't know. Yeah, well, let's go ahead and move on to Nisekoi. Chapter 103, Conqueror.
Oh, boy. This chapter made me cringe. Personally, because I know that feeling.
Yeah, it's basically all about Paula hating carrots and, you know what, hating a lot of things. Basically, she hates carrots.
She's a picky eater.
And I just love the way they do that. She's like, you mean, he's like, you two really think I can't eat carrots? He's like, you mean you can? Of course I can. I just don't want to. Show us. He's like, why do you have a carrot? He's like, no sweat. He's just like, that big mouth is like, just tosses it aside. And he's like, I saw that.
There's also one where Raku made like cookies, and he made some with carrots, some without carrots, and some that are just basic carrots. And so, okay, I even mixed them together, so, you know, we'll see, and then all of a sudden she comes up sniffing, and then she's like, gets the one to watch carrots. I'm like,
what the heck, that's a great expression there. And then, of course you find out that she's terrible at school. She can't ride a bike, and she's like, of course I can ride a bike. And she has training wheels, and she looks so freaking arrogant about it. And he takes the training wheels off, and she falls off. And... yeah, there's...
Oh, yeah, the scary story.
Right? Oh, yeah, the running gag of that. And then, of course, she's, like, trying to get over it, and she sort of manages to do it. Get over stuff. But then it turns out they're getting vaccinations, and she's like, I don't want to do it. And she just books it. Which, where we basically get to the moral of the story, and it's like, you know, it's one thing to be a picky eater, but, you know, vaccinations are actually really important. So
this yeah, trust me. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first Nisekoi that I've really seen that had a, you know, a very obvious moral to it, per se.
So, well, as far as I know, the reason why I say personal is because I kind of know how she feels. I don't like vegetables much. I can eat carrots a bit now. Yeah. I can stand broccoli, thankfully. Still can't stand spinach. I hate spinach, despite Popeye pretty much saying spinach is good for you in its own way. Scary stories just scare me a lot, and I still want scary stories because, yeah, you know, the imagination can freaking freak you out.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, I can't swim.
For the love of. That's enough. We don't need to know that.
I do not mind shots. Shots are okay.
Fair enough.
Just don't look at them.
Yeah. Getting back to the actual manga, I kind of do like the story that he gives, where he's saying like, "Oh, there's a bunch of people that have committed suicide from that chimney that she was on," and they're going on as like, "Oh, nobody had any indication of being suicidal or something. They just climbed the chimney and threw themselves off." And I kind of like that because that goes into that one that one story in the back of Gyo with, you know, the, what is it, the fault of Amidara or something like that. You know, the one where they have the hole and they're like compelled to go in there, and it's kind of like, you know, playing on that whole, you know, horror of being unable to resist this horrible fate. And it's kind of like, feels like it, kind of a reference to that, it feels like. But yeah, it turns out that was all just not true. But I love the I think the face for the chapter is when she's like, I'll eat carrots or anything you say, I just don't want to get a shot. And she's got like the giant teary eyes. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's turning into water and melting. But yeah, finally Raku manages to convince her. He's like, hey, you know, he's like, I'll get a shot with you. I could probably get a vitamin shot or something. And she's like, don't be stupid. And she gets her shot and she doesn't. And she's all like shaking. He's like, see, I can do this. And he's like, oh, hey, we're doing two shots to go today. You got one more to go.
She books it.
That was great. I love that ending. That was great. This was a good chapter. I liked it a lot.
And this was not even the chapter. That was a chapter. This was a chapter not even focused on any of the main girls or Haru.
Yeah, I think this was one of those ones that focused on tertiary character that was actually interesting. Haru isn't really interesting, but
good point.
Yeah, what's her face is a bit more interesting, and especially with this is kind of a fun little thing. Where
not to mention, Paula appeared before Haru did.
Yeah, yeah, that too. And I mean, it is very interesting to see this whole take of here. Let's have a character. Let's give them all the minor childish personality flaws out there, like being a picky eater, not being able to ride a bike, not being able to study, not being able to stand shots. You know, a lot of these little very childish kind of hang-ups that a lot of adults still have, honestly. Except adults reach the point where they're like, yeah, I don't want to eat tomatoes. What are you going to do? Force me? I'll fight you.
Wait, you don't like tomatoes?
Oh, I hate tomatoes.
Oh, you shared that commentary with two friends of mine, too.
A lot of people hate tomatoes, I've noticed.
I don't like tomatoes either. I'm like ketchup, I don't like tomatoes. I try eating tomatoes. Tomatoes just don't taste right to me.
Oh, and I hated it when people would go on about, you like ketchup, why don't you like tomatoes? And I'm like, are you honestly telling me that when you have ketchup on a hot dog, it's the same as having a fresh tomato on it? Are you some kind of idiot?
Just go to get a hot dog. Just go, hey, you eat a hot dog, right? Oh, yeah, I'm going to eat a hot dog. He has some relish on himself and mayonnaise. Okay, here's tomato. What's a tomato for?
He's like, you son of a bitch, give me ketchup.
No, eat the tomato.
Yeah, it's not even the same thing. I mean, it doesn't even taste the same. I don't get people who try to do that comparison. I'm like, even as a 8-year-old, I was like, dude, are you smoking weed? These taste nothing alike. I didn't go that far, but my answer every time someone asked me that was, they don't taste anything alike. Sure, it's made from it, but it doesn't taste the same.
With spinach, it's just... I know, but spinach is a taste that's acquired. It takes a while for it to get acquired for me. My tongue, I cannot stand the taste. I cannot stand the bitterness of it. It's just so, even the soup, which is probably the closest I can get to having spinach in me, is actually hard to even have.
Speaking of which, I should make some of that one soup with a kale on it. That's good eating. Anyway, let's talk about Dragon Ball Z Chapter 44, The Hopes of a Planet. And Krillin misses.
Krillin throws a pitch. He misses, but Gohan intercepts the Genki Dama. Bounces back to Vegeta.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't have Evo Chi, which is, I guess, a thing. And he bounces it, and it hits Vegeta, and Vegeta's blast into the stratosphere. And then he crashes, and he's like, I'm still alive. I still have enough power to kill you all. And you're like, oh, crap. And he's like, dude, what? This, you know, it does the whole... Oh, the enemy is still up, even though we've beaten him so hard. It's like everything we try, it's no good. It's kind of like with the same thing as with what's going on with Aizen and a lot of the Naruto right now. But at the same time, this one manages to do it in much fewer chapters. So it's not as much of a drag. You know, it gets through everything a lot faster.
Like they try and kill the main antagonist like 5 times with their, oh, this is the best move. This is the move that's going to work. It's a sure kill. It doesn't kill him. Like, it misses, and it fails. The villain even figures out, oh, was that your best shot? It's like, nope. Come on now, really? We get it. They're smart, they're amazing, but with the way Dragon Ball Z did it, I liked it, because it didn't take too long to just, you know, play around with it.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Exactly, yeah.
It had the guys trying, it had Piccolo and Gohan and Krillin trying to take on Vegeta after all the rest went out. Wait, Piccolo was still around, right?
I think so. No,
he's dead. Okay. So it's just basically Gohan and Krillin versus Vegeta, and Yaji Robin, of course. And you know, and then okay, they kind of do their best, and then Gohan arrives. Goku arrives. Sorry, confused. Goku arrives finally, and fights Vegeta. You know, Madison makes up with him and such, but still was not able to finish him off. And he was pretty much going to try and kill him. He just really was going to try and kill him. Because, come on now. And Goku's like, hey, you're bad. I need to kill you. You're trying to kill me. I need to kill you. They're just saying, no. I'm going to try and keep you alive and not kill you. But, you know, these people destroy planets. You don't want them alive. You don't want to spare them. You got to kill them. That's all I'm going to say. So, yeah, and then, you know, Goku fails. And let's go, okay, one more chance. Come on, Krillin, you do it. And then he misses. But then Gohan gets him, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, it still wasn't enough. Like, ah, at least it didn't go like for like 50 chapters. This one for like four chapters.
Yeah, it seems like too long. Yeah, it's not been that long, I think. But
yeah.
So overall, let's see what else.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I liked it.
Indeed. What else do we have now?
Beelzebub,
chapter 272.
Moving out of the WFA chapters are not published here.
Yes, indeed. But, yeah, so this chapter is basically the typical, oh, Oga, the main character says one thing, but it's obvious they don't mean it, and so now they're all upset and angry about it. And so Oga basically goes through the whole, oh, hey, I know I did the right thing, but at the same time, I miss Bail. So I'm like, okay, cool. But yeah, I think... let's see. Yeah, I don't know. Do we have anything else to add about that? I don't know.
Actually, the Beelzebub one. Okay, look at the Beelzebub one. It was interesting with the beginning with, you know, how, you know, basically with Ogre's walking away and Bell just like, you know what, if this way one's fine. But then it moves to Johan talking to these old guys. I'm like, who are these old guys? Old guys, where do you come from? Where do you appear? And then they're talking about, oh, Satan and Beelzebub. I'm like,
Satan, it's Satan.
I'm sorry, damn, you're getting into my head now. Satan and Beelzebub, even though they're both the same person.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, it kind of depends. I mean, there is some sort of theorizing that, oh, they could be different people, but I'm like, yeah, and the stuff that I've read, they're the same person. So, right. But,
well, yeah. here's something just funny. Just go off the subject. The Devil Survivor games, they have a Lucifer and Satan in it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, that's silly. But
that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, and then of course we get the twist at the end where we turn out that Nene has been turned to stone.
Nene.
And you're like,
You're not me. But Fuji's like, oh no, she's turned to stone. And
Indeed. It is
all
like,
this
oh
too.
man, what's gonna happen? Oh noes. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's go ahead and talk about Assassination Classroom. We've got two chapters, chapter 68 and 69. So, chapter 68 is basically the focus is on Chiba and Hayami and kind of their whole, why they're in the lowest class. But you got Kuro Sensei, maneuvers all of his students and gets them moving around so that to disorient the assassin. And then I enjoyed it was like just that bit that he did with Terra. Wait, what's his name?
Terasaka.
Terasaka, that's it. Yeah,
Yeah, it
I
took me a while to
think.
remember his name too.
Yeah, I was like, does that embarrasses him? It was like, how do you know about that? And they beat the bad guy. But it's done in a cool way. It's a very strategic kind of thing, and you're like, ah, this is clever. I enjoy it. And it's very good. And then we've got chapter 69. Oh my gosh, chapter 69. It's basically turns out that, the mastermind, he's not actually an assassin, otherwise he would have used the assassins properly. The only reason they were able to beat them was because the assassins weren't in their own elements. And then it turns out that the bad guy, and you in your notes here say obviously, but I didn't even think about it. It was Takaoka is the bad guy.
I know. It, to be
And he
honest, it's
snapped.
to be honest. Okay. I guess obviously may have been a touch too blunt,
Too
but
confident.
too confident. Yes, but at the same time, it just for a while I was at first. I was like, okay, what is this in here? What this might be someone else, someone like one of those other assassins that Noboru can in contact. But then I was like, wait. So, but then the previous chapter hinted at how Kazuma was saying like, huh, the way these guys are acting seems like this. One guy, like, there's like, I'm like, ha, right there, confirmation. So I was like, obviously, it's gotta be that guy. That's why I was confident.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. Yeah, it. I just thought it was just gonna be some random guy, but yeah, that's pretty.
But it's really terrifying how he looks now.
Yeah, he's lost it completely.
He's lost his marbles. No, the marbles have lost him.
Yeah, just slightly.
No, slightly. Look at his face. Look at his face
Yeah,
at the last page. Look at it.
I looked at it. Dude's lost it. But yeah, that. I well, yeah, it was, yeah, it was pretty crazy. I that chapter, that reveal was really awesome, but yeah. Let's see. What else do we have? We have Shokugeki no Soma, where basically we find out that Witch Girl's plan was to, ruin everyone else by overpowering the judge's sense of smell. And just like, leaving a massive aftertaste, where it still is like, it tastes really good, but, it overshadows all the following dishes. But then Irina's secretary basically turns out she knows medicinal cooking that allows to helps purify the bodies, and it makes them feel a lot better after, yeah, after all the, after the, very selfish sort of kind of cooking that the other person, whatever her name was, but yeah, she's,
Sadatsuga now.
yeah, but yeah, and it was, it, I was really amused with it. She's like, here, you must taste this now, and it's like, she's like, all of the stagnation and chaos is being washed away, and it's like, Sadatsuka now, white is born. And ended in the same page. He reverts back to normal. That's such an awesome joke. Just, oh, I love it because it's just this whole, oh, this character is a bad character, and then they, now they're pure-hearted and they become a proper pure-hearted girl. And suddenly she's just like, no! It's like going, I'm going back to, it's like I'm gonna stay the way I am. And I love that. And of course. Yeah, we see she's completely and utterly trounced in the, yeah, Hisako earns, the arena secretary earns 92 points, and she also earns herself a stalker. Love this chapter. And oh yeah, and then it turns out that what's his face, Some dude. Oh yeah, the Nakiri Alice's aide scored
Yep.
93 points, and this is the dude that was with Irina's
Cousin.
cousin all the time, and he looks freaking badass. You're just like, dude, what? Can't wait to find out more of this. I love this manga. This manga's great. Just
Same. And you're the one that introduced me to it.
it really was worth it. I mean, you started off and it's all, oh hey, it's a cooking manga but with ecchi stuff, but then suddenly it's, oh
Actually,
hey, this
I would
manga
be
is
more
way more
interested
than
in reading
that.
cooking manga more now than anything else.
I know there are a lot of cooking manga you should read that are a lot of fun. That are,
Well, if we turn to a cooking manga podcast.
I wouldn't mind it, but they're kind of hard to get to in legal ways.
Not to mention, I can't really cook, so that kind of made me look bad. Like, I can't cook.
Yeah.
All you cook is scrambled eggs. You're a failure in the kitchen. Get out of here. I don't want to be in the kitchen in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was, I loved this chapter. It was quite great. And so, after, I think that about, yeah, that does it for the, that does it for the chapters this week.
Yeah.
Indeed, it does.
No
So,
Kodansha, as we
yeah,
said earlier.
sadly, no Kodansha. We'll have to take care of them next week when they come back. But yeah, let's go ahead and wrap things up. This has been Manga Cubed, episode 77, for the week of December 16th, 2013. This week we went over Evangelion, Omnibus number 4, volumes 7, 8, and 9. We also discussed the weekly Shonen Jump chapters. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Kodansha chapters just because it would appear that this was their week off. So we'll probably have
Yeah.
them next week, or we might just double up on something. But yeah, and we also have a little bit of stuff to go through while when as we wrap up. As usual, it's time to go over the author comments, and we will start with Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. We all had cake for my daughter's birthday, but I was the only one able to finish it. Do I have a sweet tooth? I didn't know he was married. Huh.
Yeah, I didn't know he had a daughter. Wow.
Is it?
Wait, wait.
I think it's Kubo that isn't married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Indeed. What do we have next?
Good on you, Kishimoto. Anyways, One Piece 8-year older. I got an iPhone. Fuck you. It's about the iCloud. Fuck you. I'm having trouble because my device is up in the cloud.
Oh, dear. Oh, Oda. Let's see. What else do we have? World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. The year is almost over. I must make time to write some New Year's cards.
New Year's in like
Indeed.
11 days. Oh wait, not 11 days. 12 days. There you go. Sorry, I
Wow.
meant the
Oh,
31st.
jeez. So soon.
New Year's Eve, I mean, not New Year's Day yet.
Yeah.
Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. I keep saving the books I buy to use as reference material, but that means they keep piling up. I need to organize. I want to do the same thing too, but I don't have that many books right now myself.
I've got too much stuff. My desk is slowly encroaching on all my manga and research material.
A nice choice of the word.
Yep. Not like that.
I
All right. Bleach's Tite Kubo. I received some Adachi
Toy.
Otoemon no Ten chestnut cakes thanks to a work connection. I think I'm set with chestnut snacks until the end of the year.
He had been talking about chestnuts for a while, didn't you know that?
I guess he likes chestnuts.
Roasting on an open fire. Anyways. Nisekoi is now as you call me. I saw the anime Nisekoi in a dream. I think I'm looking forward to it way too much.
Yeah.
That's
Oh
a
dear.
good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I look forward to watching that. It should be
Me
fun.
too.
Yeah. All right. I think it's time for our rankings. Let's just say One Piece's numbers 4 through 1 through 4 and get it over with.
Nah, we're kidding.
Well, I don't. Ah,
I
fine.
know, I want to actually. I think
Okay.
it's
Yeah.
worth it.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Oh gosh, number 4. Trying to remember what was. Dang it. I should have put my list together. Mo, what's your number 4?
I'd say it's Bleach.
Really? Okay.
I can't remember. I can't. I did my rankings. I think my rankings like a while ago, so I can't remember what I should put. But yeah, I'll just go Bleach.
Okay, fair enough. That was. Yeah, can see that. Let's see. My number four was, I'm gonna say World Trigger.
Okay.
I don't know. I like the beginning of what it's promising, a fairly epic war while at the same time promising not to be completely boring in its war because it's had some good fights. So, all right, number
Especially
three.
since they're gonna fight neighbors and not people. Unless they actually do fight people, I'm like, what? Ah.
He'll probably be some human chain neighbors.
But then again, Yuma is like a bit of a human. He's from another one of those planets, so I guess it'll probably be better for you. Anyways, third place, Nisekoi.
Right. Nisekoi in third place. Cool. How come?
Because Paolo was a lot more interesting than Haru ever is going to be. And besides, like I said, I can relate. I can very well relate.
True. Very true. Pardon. My number
Except the
th
shots. The
yeah.
shots are evil.
Yeah, my number three is One Punch Man. It was just really awesome. I loved the art was great, and this promise of a new thread is very interesting. I think I'll enjoy seeing what on earth is going on here. And what's your number two?
World Trigger.
Eight? Why is it that high?
Well, kind of like you said, the promise of things gonna get a little bit different. Going into a war, things are gonna actually get raised. The stakes are gonna be raised up, and it's shaping itself up pretty well, I guess. I mean, I was gonna take Toriko, but then when you point all that stuff, I was like, no. I wasn't even in my rank. I did not even vote for that.
Yeah, that's sorry about that.
I wanted to pick One Punch Man too, but it's short. And at the same time, as much as like I Eiron, he's Eiron. I don't like the alien thing. It scares me.
All right, cool.
Terrifies me.
Yep.
But this is gonna be a fun arc. I'm gonna let you know that much.
Oh yes, I can imagine. All right, my number two is Nisekoi. He was just okay. It was just so
Now I'll
funny.
do my number two.
It was funny. I loved it. I can't say anything bad about it.
Funny, it's a character who kind of has connections to
Tsugumi.
Tsugumi. Almost said
Ah! Ah!
Sasuke.
Ah! Ah! I have one-upped you! Finally!
Can't remember my favorite character's name. That's horrible.
Fool! Alright, and let's just go ahead and just spill the beans. Number one is One Piece, because why
One
not?
NEPICEE. I can't spell it.
You don't know how spell works. Jeez. I mean, we don't even need to say why it was the best. Listen to the review. I mean,
No,
come
we can't.
on.
The freaking reveal. It's
Yeah,
the
it's.
freaking reveal.
Yeah. Although I did
The two
apparently.
reveals.
Yeah,
What
although apparently, on the episode of the One Piece podcast I listened to, apparently there are some people that are thinking that this mystery person is Ace.
No way.
I know, right? That's silly.
He got buried. We saw it.
Like, he is dead and buried. Yes, but and
But
besides,
he's like, hey,
who
I'm back.
else do we know from Luffy's past that he thinks is dead, that likes to
Yeah.
dress stylishly, not topless?
True.
Anyway, we're not gonna say it until it actually happens, until we actually get confirmation. But that
And the
was
confirmation will
bad.
be happening in about 3 more days.
Pretty much as of when
I
we
hope.
recorded this, I am so sorry this is late. But
Sorry.
anyway, it's time for our email time. We
Okay.
actually got an email from our old friend Yarui Huff. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Either way, if I remember correctly, yes, this is the same individual who is Orange on Podomatic. This time he's been sending us emails. Well, partially because of my own fault for not updating everything regularly. We haven't been getting anything, but with a more consistent schedule that we've been having now, we've got an email. And he says, "Hey guys, haven't listened to the Neuro review yet, but good on you for reviewing an awesome series." We need to read more of that.
We do.
Yeah, wanted to comment on your Blue Exorcist commentary. To me, the head priest was a jerk who wanted to have sex with a beautiful woman without strings attached. He got pregnant because he didn't care either way, as long as he didn't have to be a part of the kids' lives. Standard douchebaggery.
especially
true.
Since he didn't use a condom. I mean, protection.
I might have thought about it a little too much. I mean, that is pretty much the most simple answer.
Yeah, it's still
It's
simple. I
just,
like simple.
yeah, he was just a standard frat boy douchebag, essentially. I mean, granted, he was also apparently a wuss, but being a wuss doesn't mean you can't be a raging douchebag. Mo.
What?
I'm joking. I think I'm more of a douchebag, honestly.
No kidding.
Yeah, sorry. See, I saw the mother's. This is the email again. I saw the mother's changes being greatly influenced by the Ninetales, slowly affecting her over time, triggered by her heart, wavered because of the head douche's threat to leave her. It wasn't about her hating her kids, but about head douche hating them. The Ninetales twisted her thoughts, which caused her to blame her kids. Okay, yeah, that I can buy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's. I mean, honestly, yeah. I think part of the problem with the chapter was that we didn't see the Ninetales' influence until, she transforms. I mean, if we had
Well,
a.
would you prefer to have a two chapter of what's her name?
No, I.
Izumo's past? No,
No,
I kind of wouldn't.
no. What I would have wanted was just a slight hint that maybe the ritual isn't going as well as it should. I guess, well, they did show that scene of her after the ritual not being into it as much, so I guess that could be hinted as being that, but it wasn't very clear
Yeah.
if her emotional turmoil caused by head douche, by the way, I'm stealing that name, by his behavior would then lead to the Ninetales not being sealed properly, which would lead to her becoming possessed. That I can buy.
And killing him.
Yeah, it just would have may been nice to get made for that to have been a little more obvious. So, all right, and now for back to the email, some questions. With a big reveal in One Piece 731, there have been talks about people posting spoilers over the internet. You guys read spoilers? If not, how do you avoid them? Okay, we do not read spoilers willingly. How do we avoid them?
I avoid them by not even going to the site, and I only check manga here. Manga here are very nice about not. Actually, they removed One Piece, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's. Honestly, I have a very hard time avoiding spoilers because, well, I don't have that many people. I don't follow people that would spoil me on Twitter. Tumblr is a bit more problematic because of the fan art aspect to a lot of people's Tumblr, and
Yeah, that's Tumblr for
deviant
you.
art is a minefield. I mean, honestly, there are people
It's art,
that,
what do you think?
yeah, well, they take certain panels or just certain drawings from the chapter. They do their own line work off of it. They color it in and everything, and it's all nice and fan arty. But say the problem being, they post the best part of the chapter, which is often the spoiler, and then color it in, ignoring the fact that, of course, people that read these things legally are not reading them until Monday, the following Monday after the scanlations come out. And yes, this includes Japan, because the thing here being, we get it legally from Viz, day and date, that the Japanese readers get it. It's just that at a certain point, someone manages to get their hands on a copy of Jump, and they scan it, and they send it, and then
They always
scanlation
seem
groups
to.
translate it and put it up, and then you or people who read the scanlations read it, and they see, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, this is amazing! I must art this now." And then good law-abiding citizens like ourselves, who happen to like fan art, see this on DeviantArt, and suddenly I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that girl from Jinbei's flashback, Koala, is in the chapter." Fortunately, the big thing wasn't spoiled for me.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, fortunately, that was her being. I was still kind of furious because, like, whoa, her being in there—that's a—that's an amazing spoiler. You complete jerks! How dare you spoil me on this? This obviously means that Jinbei is there because of her connection to him. But then it turns out that wasn't the case. I made conclusions that weren't correct. So the actual reveal was actually hidden from me for the most part. I mean, sure, I was not
Well,
happy with it.
our friend wasn't very so lucky
Yeah,
to
well,
well, she knew
she
she already knew, but
well
for other people, she
she
was upset
yeah.
about it.
She read yeah, she read the well, she reads scanlations because they can't afford
True.
the you know, they can't afford the issues right now. But
she only reads One Piece anyway.
Yeah, true. So it'd be kind of pointless. But well, no, not pointless. People should still buy it even if they only read one series. But at the same time, yeah, you know. But nonetheless, she was very clear. It's like, oh, something big happens. But, you know, like a proper friend, she didn't spoil us. And she told us, avoid Facebook. And I did.
I don't go on Facebook that much anymore. Why do I need to? Yeah. I mean, I'm actually trying to change my image by not going on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell people, hey, I got other things to do. I don't got time to go and talk to you all of them.
Pleasant. Anyway, now how to avoid them. Okay, here's my big tip. Between Wednesday through Monday, honestly, I would, or, well, honestly, maybe you can get away with it, but I still wouldn't risk it. But especially Wednesday and Thursday and possibly Friday, I would avoid places that have fan art. You know, like, well, it's like Tumblr or, you know.
Tumblr, DeviantArt.
However, I would also recommend that if there is someone that does, even if they do fan art that you like, but they consistently post images from the scanlations and they, you know, and they're consistently posting like art and fan art based off of the chapters that have not officially been released yet, I would highly consider unfollowing them. I've had a few that I've unfollowed because I'm just like, look, if you don't have the decency to wait until Monday to discuss some spoilers on a very public setting, then come on, just stop it. But I end up not following them anymore, even if I like their fan art. I'm just deciding, you know what? It's not your fan art is not worth the actual manga being spoiled to me. Sometimes it's kind of hard to avoid. I do my best, but sometimes it just doesn't happen. So I'm just like, I am annoyed with you people, so goodbye. So, all right, now the last part of the email. What flavor chips do you eat while podcasting, Mo? Later, guys.
Well, I tend to eat either Doritos Cool Ranch flavor, Sun Chips Garden Salsa, Frito Honey Barbecue, or Funyuns. Those tend to be my favorites to eat.
How the glob are you so skinny?
Metabolism, genetics.
Lucky.
According to my dad, he was pretty skinny up until a certain point. He
lucky
started gaining
Southeast
weight.
Asian person. curse my Viking genes that make me far too large. Well, actually, no, I'm not large, but nonetheless,
you can dress as a Viking and maybe go. Going to a Capital One commercial.
One commercial? Oh, right.
Capital One commercial.
Oh yeah, dude, that would be kick ass.
That would be kick-ass. I mean, hey, I know that guy.
Like, what's in your wallet?
Don't touch my wallet. My wallet's falling apart. You don't want it.
Yeah, no. But I mean, I should use my Christmas bonus to buy a new wallet. Maybe I'll get an
actual
leather
one. Oh, my wallet is falling apart. I've had it since I was 11 years old. I need to buy a new one.
Yeah, I like to replace my wallets fairly periodically. The one that I have right now is perfectly fine. But, you know, it's kind of one of those sort of, not canvas, but it's, you know, that kind of plasticky wallet material that's still a fabric. I'm thinking I should look into getting a leather wallet. You know,
I have is a leather wallet. I've had this leather wallet since I was 7 years old.
I should look into it. I mean, I like the trifold kind of deal, so I should look into like a trifold leather wallet. You know, something nice. Something that says adult. You know, it's kind of one of those steps you gotta make, you know. First it starts with an email that you use for school and for, you know, sending out resumes and stuff to employers. You know, one that doesn't make you look like a goober, one that's just basically your name at suchandsuch.com. And then one of the next phases is getting a proper wallet. At some point, the phase to get an adult wardrobe will come along, but I'm going kicking and screaming into that one. This will not take away my Batman t-shirts.
This wallet started falling apart like 2008, I think.
Buy a new wallet, dang it.
It lasted like 8 years, and then it started falling apart. Like, the zipper first fell off, and I was like, oh. It's still there. I remember I stuck a hole sticker on like the front one time, because I just wanted to decorate it.
Oh dear, decorating your wallet. nice leather wallet.
I was a middle school kid at the time.
Why did you have a leather wallet as a middle school kid?
Parents.
Fair enough. Well, time to buy yourself a new one.
Yeah.
I don't normally replace my wallet that often, but it does. Every once in a while, I just reach a point where I'm like, I need a new one. Around the time I've overstuffed it with receipts and junk.
There are people who have shoe for like 20 years. I've had a wallet for like half of that.
Yeah. Well, I think that officially wraps things up. A thinks Yaru. I'm gonna say Yaru. But that name, why does that name sound familiar? Oh, that's a One Piece character's name. Yaru. Huh. Don't remember which one though. All right, well, Yaru, as I'm going to call you now, unless you want to include a phonetic pronunciation guide of your name in the next email. I would not complain. Thank you for your email. And remember, people, burninglizardstudios@gmail.com is the place to send emails. Also, just as a reminder, look up manga Pat's Triangle Symbol 3, a manga podcast.
It's called Carrot.
Yes, Manga Carrot 3. Why did I do that? A manga podcast. It's a new feed with a much cooler looking Luffy image, and are the actual name of a podcast on the image now. It is the feed that contains the entirety of the podcast. This is the feed that you should be using from now on. We're going to continue updating the shorter 5-episode-at-a-time feed, just because why not? But those of you that have been listening to that feed, I do recommend moving over to the other one, because not only does it have everything, but that's the one that's eventually we might discontinue the Podomatic one, but we'll have to see what happens with that. I just want everyone on that one. I want everyone commenting on that one, reviews and everything, ratings. I want it to go to that one because that's the one that I want to push. I want more people listening to. And because, you know, there's like 77 episodes there now. It's kind of, it looks a bit more on the impressive side since it's, you know, actually longer. And it's not just, I've only put out 5 episodes of a podcast. I'm just pretending that they're like 73 through 77. Thank goodness I'm not doing that. But anyway, you can also go to burninglizardstudios.com where we post the episodes. You can go to burninglizardstudios.blogspot.com, which is my old blog that is, well, still has more content than my current website, which I'm still working on website content. But for right now, it's a podcast website. There is also Twitter. That's it. At Burning Lizard, find me on Twitter and send comments. And you can also find our Facebook page, Burning Lizard Studios, which I haven't done much with it recently, but it's there if you want to leave a comment there. So, yeah, any questions, comments you have, just send them to us and we will read them on the air. For now, I think that wraps everything up. All I've got to say now is that, remember, the manga is always better. There are no extenuating circumstances. See you guys later.
Ciao.